how does PR really affect what somebody's writing about? And even if it does, isn't that something that the market just kind of takes care of?
Well, in the old days, at least from what I've heard from people, is that, you know, it was much more prevalent that PR could affect reviews. You know, I don't know, like,
specific, like, how do they do that?
Like, you know, making deals, basically. Like, you know, there were maybe some people that would cut deals for, you know, for advertising or whatever else. Like, you know, I don't know anyone specific that did this.
Right.
I don't know any real specific examples, but I've heard stories, you know, about, you know, people doing that kind of stuff. And I don't think that's really happened a lot in recent years. I think that, you know, that's been cut out. Like, I think the most PR can do at this point is not send you a game to review.
Kanan Lynch Dead Men is an ugly, ugly game. That's not necessarily me talking just about the graphics. It's got a really ugly storyline with characters that are impossible to like, and it's a third-person shooter that has several gameplay flaws as well. Some really neat ideas are buried deep, deep in there, but you're going to have to do a whole lot of digging, more than you'll probably want to do, in order to find it.
When we were talking about the Sony Kotaku blackball thing.
Yeah, that whole thing was really weird. I'm not going to comment too heavily on that, but
yeah.
It's like, you know, that is an example of PR, for, you know, like what they will sometimes do, what kind of lengths they will go to protect, you know, their PR plans, basically.
It does have some really clever ideas here and there in very short bursts, but by and large, it's a fairly standard shooter that doesn't really have mechanics that live up to the standards of the genre. If you're a fan of shooters, you're probably just going to be frustrated by a lot of the things that this game does wrong. But that said, the multiplayer is really neat and something that's probably worth seeing. So if you do have an opportunity to see it without paying full price, take a look at it. But it's probably not worth the purchase.
Has there ever been a time when you wrote a review where there was any kind of pressure whatsoever to change the review, not print the review? If this includes GameSpot and anywhere else you've written stuff. And did you ever feel like you were being pressured in one direction or another for a reason that other than the most honest opinion that you could possibly give about a product that you were reviewing?
No.
Okay.
Flat out no.
Cool.
I can tell you right now, I have never been asked to change a review score other than I don't think the text tone quite lines up with the score you have during QA.
Okay, Bart, but that's like
that's
right.
That's an internal, like, you know, we're just you know, going through the checks and balances of the review process.
Right, and that's a quality of review question, not a
opinion-changing
question, right?
Exactly. I have never had anyone, you know, I mean, every once in a while someone has said, well, I thought this was better than you did.
Right.
You know, or I didn't like this as much
right,
as you
right.
did. But that's all internal. I have never had any sort of, like, external pressure of, like, you know, well, we have an ad deal in place with these guys, and they were kind of hoping for an 8.5, so could you rewrite this whole thing? Thanks. No, that's never happened. Never happened. Never happened. Happened. Never happened. Never happened.
Thank you for tuning in to episode, 73 of the Try Games on Net podcast. It is December 2, Sunday. As usual, I am your host, Austin, a.k.a. Mr. Chupon. What you just heard was our conversation with Alex Navarro, associate editor at GameSpot, regarding journalism and games, spliced in with Jeff's Gerstmann's now-deleted Kanan Lynch video review. If you haven't heard by now, the big situation going on the internets, specifically on the video game internets, is that Jeff Gerstmann, who is the editor-in-chief, so to speak, for GameSpot, got fired. And what was once a rumor is probably now more confirmed, though, of course, GameSpot and CNET won't say anything, is that he got fired because he was brutally honest with his opinion of Kanan Lynch Dead Men, a game by Eidos, published by Eidos, and Eidos did not like that. The upper management at CNET did not like that because that would threaten their advertising relationship. So Jeff was sacrificed, and they didn't like how he was running reviews anyway because they were being brutally honest, so they're probably happy about it now, and now the staff is pretty much in shambles. So any of you who are GameSpot members, community members, you probably know about this already. Any of you who are not, now you know. That's what the brouhaha is all about. But we have our full house to discuss this. Ethan, say
mm-hmm.
hello. We've got
hello.
Al.
The 6.0 that broke the camel's back.
Yeah, pretty much. And we've got Tony.
Fuck Eidos!
You know the French have to unhinge their jaws to show love, says Tony. Apparently so does Eidos. We are going to forego what we've been playing. We're going to go forego the news because this really is the only news that matters. We are also going to forego a bag of shit, so to speak. We do have an entry in the bag of shit. Should we do that first, actually?
Yeah, sure.
What is the bag of shit? Everyone's bag of shit for this week.
Kane and Lynch.
We're going to have to agree.
Kane and Lynch Dead Men is our bag of shit. Do not buy it. It is reprehensible. It is shit. And
I would like to say that I've actually played Kane and Lynch, and I think it is the probably one of the best games ever released, and I'd like to personally thank Eidos for releasing it.
Go back to the bathroom with you!
Never seen a better game.
Yeah. I would definitely like to say that that game has some pretty cool ideas, given some of the descriptions that I've read, but the execution has been, according to the things I've read,
what's up
terrible.
With the fucking bandage on that guy's nose? What's that all about?
I'll say this right now, I've never played Kane and Lynch, and I never plan to. It is a bag of shit. If you want, if anybody wants to read or listen or watch a good review on Kane and Lynch for some laughs, go to Destructoid.com.
Yes,
they have a video review. They gave it an 11 out of 10. and they fully confessed to taking checks from Eidos. Of course that's a joke review. But it just goes to show how ridiculous this whole situation is.
But wait a minute.
Yeah.
I read a different one then that actually wasn't what you said.
Which?
Unless it was the one that had the comment about the two-player thing?
Destructoid has a real review up, and they also have a joke video review up.
I didn't see the joke review.
So okay. That was by Ronald Workman without his chops. But we're going to start off with the mailbag because pretty much every question has to do with the situation. So, let's see. First one from Aiden Boneham says...
oh, my God. First of all, Aid and Boneham.
All right,
I can't let it go. I know that. I know. I just can't. It's so good.
Stop. Let me read this. Jeff Gerstmann getting fired due to his Kane and Lynch review. If this is true, I suggest you revisit the topic Journalism, PR, and Games from episode 47. That's what we just did. We spliced that into the intro, and that's huge. He says to sign a petition. The link doesn't come through in the chat window, but it's probably somewhere on a petition. There are probably a lot of petitions going on, going up on Petition Online, so it's probably easy to find. If anybody feels that that will do anything, I personally don't, because most of the time they don't really work, unfortunately.
Don't vote!
Go ahead and sign it. you should, even if it doesn't do anything, at least it shows something. Excuse me. Next message from DJ Durantula. Is that supposed to be Tarantula? I'm not sure. I'm a GameSpot refugee looking for a place to stay while the Big Leisure GameSpot liner sinks to the depths. I've come here via a blog by Mr. Chupon from the GameSpot community and have never visited this site before. Do you guys have a couch? Couch that I can crash on?
We have a couch.
We each own several couches in our respective apartments, but none that you can crash on, unfortunately, especially because... we all have day jobs, and this site is very rarely updated, save for this podcast.
Get a job,
but,
you hobo!
I do hear rumors that there is an Exco Board free website forum that has been set up for GameSpot refugees called Gerst Spotters. If you want to find out where it is, I think you might know who to email about it, though I do not know for sure. Next message from Xbox Rules. What does the firing of Jeff mean for all future content? I'm sorry, for all future, current, and past reviews on GameSpot? Are we to assume that the Van Oort effect is also due to pressure from RegimeNet, a.k.a. CNET? To start off, I'm not exactly sure what the Van Oort effect is. Kevin Van Oort, for you guys, is one of their newer reviewers over at GameSpot. I don't know what he's referring to by the Van Oort effect. I will say that he gave Assassin's Creed a 9.0, and a lot of people are like, what the fuck, that's not that great a game, it's actually really repetitive. Mm-hmm. I haven't played it myself, I can't judge. If that is what you mean by the Van Oort effect, then no, I honestly think he really liked the game. He's capable of showing teeth when he wants to. He reviewed Mass Effect, he gave it an 8.5, which is still a great score, but everyone was expecting a 10. He pointed out the flaws right there out in print of Mass Effect. So, no, I don't think that there is any Van Oort effect unless you just disagree with his reviews. I mean, those people who have the problem with the Assassin's Creed reviews, everybody's fucking different. If he liked the game and you didn't, don't throw shit at him for it. Anyway, what does this firing of Jeff mean for all future, current, and past reviews? What are your guys' thoughts on that?
Well, I can already say that people have instantly lost their trust in the reviews that are on GameSpot, because one of the first things out of everybody's mouth is, well, can we believe anything they say now?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Because of this. And I just find that as, well, there's always been controversy and conflict over numbers and things that people say, but I don't think that this one event has... I don't think that this one event should completely destroy all credibility in what's already been on the site. You can't just go and retroactively change the fact that people have been writing reviews on this site with integrity for years.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's definitely like the... an easy kind of shotgun reaction to it. Like, they're all paid off. Then there are a lot of people going like, I knew it. I knew all these sites take money. It's like, no. What did you know? You know shit. You don't even work in the industry. You don't know shit.
Right.
But I think...
I like to feel that way.
Yeah. I mean, I will say that I used to just kind of be like, when I was like younger, I was like, they're all getting paid off or whatever. But like, when you start to actually work with some of the people there, like, I'm not going to pretend like I actually worked with them. Like, I worked under Alex. That's about it. I did freelancing, and I submitted myself to him. That's it. But in my interactions with him, he is nothing but, like, a stand-up guy and someone who wouldn't ever bend to advertiser pressure. And knowing what
you were paid to say that.
Knowing how he feels... knowing how he feels about, like, you know, the rest of the staff on there, like, I can't, you know, I honestly can't imagine that that these guys would have accepted stuff from, you know, anybody. I mean, in reading, I think it's Frank Porovo's blog. I'm not sure if that's where I read it, but like, yeah, I think it is. If you guys want to hear the words of another freelancer, it's frankprovo.livejournal.com. He was responsible for the infamous 6.8 for Shenmue that got re-rated, not by his hands though, of course, and they vowed never to do it again. He said that like. Not only, you know how you're supposed to keep a church and state separation between editorial and marketing, and like true to any other good website or publication with integrity, they kept them in like totally separate buildings. You know, it went to that point, and Greg Kasavin, who was the editor-in-chief back then, made sure that was the case. Mm-hmm. And then when Jeff Gerstmann had to take over the editorial side, they brought in some other douchebag called like Josh Larson to take over the business side of things. And it's like, okay, I'm this business guy. You take over the care of the editorial, but we have to do it this way because we want to make dollars. And, you know, of course, money is money, and you know, you have to make money. But it was kind of ridiculous. He kind of – it sounds like he blurred that line and now ultimately shattered it. They brought in a Maxim dude, for Christ's sakes. I mean, remember we were talking about Maxim in episode 47, and he was like, if you get your reviews from Maxim, there's something wrong with you. Well, there you go. Huh.
I have one thing.
By the way, the guy's name is Stephen Colvin. He's the ex-president of Dennis Publishing, which is responsible for Maxim and stuff. But Tony, what were you saying?
No, I was going to answer the question: what does the firing of Jeff mean for the all future, current, and past reviews?
Yeah.
The site was not without controversy, you know, to begin with. I mean, not only do you have the Shenmue revision of its rating, okay, but you also have the Ratchet and Clank debacle. Or was
this
you know
princess thing?
You know, and I mean, like these sites are not without like you know internal controversy. It's just this one has a stain that's identifiable, you know, to it, and you can actually pick out a villain, and the villain is the you know the marketing geniuses at Eidos. You know, and seen it. You know that bended to its will. Yeah. Now I've seen the commercials of Kane and Lynch, and I gotta say honestly, doesn't look anything spectacular.
Nope.
You know, it's not something that I would buy only because it's another you know shoot this you know kill that. We've seen that done that. You know, I would be more inclined to buy.
But
they
use the F
word
almost every other time. Isn't
Who cares?
Isn't that hardcore?
No,
wow.
No, that's
passé.
It's real.
It's touching base with us.
Let's travel back 5 years. Maybe that'll be you know, you know, maybe that'll be the state of the art thing. You know, an F word. Okay, but you know, it's just like this brings nothing new to my eyes. And if this guy actually wrote a review that wasn't in favor of the marketing dollars that they wasted to advertise on this game, you know, then too bad. that's the way they roll the dice. I mean, you know, they should roll with the punches. You made a shit game. Somebody reviewed it. It's time to move on. You know, yeah. you made a bad investment. That's what it all comes down
to. And you know what?
To have
I'm sorry. I jumped in. I thought you were done. Go ahead.
Sorry. To have somebody fired because their view is contrary to what you want them, what you wanted, is kind of like, it's despotic. It really is. It's like me pointing my finger down at you and sending you down to, you know, to the depths because you didn't agree with me.
To the seventh circle of hell.
Exactly. Because you didn't agree with me.
Skipping the first six circles.
I think, honestly, I think this guy is going to have a job anywhere he goes because everybody's going to sympathize with him. You know, I don't think they're going to fear hiring him just because he's edgy. He's not Opie and Anthony. He didn't fucking go and say, oh, that's fucking idols, that motherfucker.
Yeah,
he did it
with all the professionalism required.
Exactly. It's not like he went on there and, you know, he, like, wrote a review and, like, said, you know, idols could never walk into a church because it's pure evil. Like, I would be like, you know, I would be like, you know, okay, maybe he pushed the envelope with that, you know? But it's not like that. He didn't do anything Howard Stern-like. He didn't do anything sensational. He just made a review. And you're going to fire him for that?
Yeah, there are a couple of things. One, like a lot of people have pointed out that, yes, he's done worse than this, much worse. Mm-hmm. And that was under Greg's reign when Greg was, you know, the fair person, you know, and he knew how to run editorial. And it was for Dragon Ball Z game. Mm-hmm. And they shot their video review as a gag. He's like in a park somewhere, just kind of sitting on a bench and like looking off in the distance. And he's reciting a haiku, you know, in his brain. It's like, Dragon Ball Z is dumb, but the only thing that is dumber are the people who like Dragon Ball Z. And that was the review. And he didn't get fired over that.
Wait, that was the whole review?
Yeah. And then there was one for like some really stupid like biking game that came out for Xbox, and it was shot in like, you know, old like old 40s type filter with like, you know, the little squiggly lines across the screen. It was like, this is Jeff. Jeff has a problem. He's got this crappy Xbox game to review. There's also this box. Which one will Jeff choose? The game or the box? And then they have him kind of sitting there like making all these stupid faces, like wondering, am I going to choose the game or the box? And he reaches for the game, and it's like, looks like he's made his choice. No, he's hesitating. He chose the box. Don't play this game. And that was the review. And he didn't get fired over that.
No.
Yeah.
But then again, I'm pretty sure that publisher probably didn't take out like loads and gobs of advertising for that game.
But it doesn't matter.
Though it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. You're right.
Yeah, it fucking doesn't matter.
And Greg wouldn't have let it matter. He would have been like, you know what? You took out advertising? Too bad. You made a bad game.
Yeah. Uh-huh. You even it's had like, the ads know. Point to the review. Your choice. Bad decision.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I will say that the funny thing about the review controversy that you mentioned, the Twilight Princess, the Ratchet and Clank, and all that shit. Mm-hmm. Just for disclosure, Jeff Gerstmann, the one who's fired, gave Twilight Princess an 8.8. Aaron Thomas is the one who gave Ratchet & Clank a 7.5, but as editorial director, that Jeff Gerstmann is the one who approved the review. So I would argue that those controversies show that like they have had integrity throughout this whole time because they were willing to say, you know what, we're going to get a lot of flack for this because a lot of people are going to throw shit down our throats because they want Sony to do well or they want Nintendo to do well. And they love their Zelda, and they love their Ratchet and Clank. But I'm not going to mince my words. Zelda's great, but it's not a 9.0. Ratchet and Clank is good, but it's not a 9.0. I'm sorry.
And what was the outcome in both of those?
The only thing that happened was that a lot of forum people were mad, and they started.
That's it. A lot of bloggers. You know.
The difference is though that again, Nintendo didn't pull out a huge advertising thing on that. I'm pretty sure that Sony didn't throw gobs of advertising at GameSpot for that one. Also,
probably because they had a good product.
But what's it called? The Nintendo one was last year when Greg was still in charge. He probably did a great job of managing that crap. Also, what was it? The other thing was that Sony did actually delay the delivery of Uncharted for review because they were pissed off. At that review. So they did, you know, you didn't give me, so they did do something, but all they did was delay the delivery of the game, and that's actually exactly what Alex said in episode 47 when Ethan, when you asked him, like, what how does PR actually control this? And he said they used to make a lot of advertising deals. Like, the best that they can do nowadays is just not send you a game to review, and we have to buy it ourselves. I don't know if you remember that. Mm-hmm. But, you know, that's basically what he said. And that's what they did. They just didn't send the game. But no, I don't send it, whatever. I don't think we've still answered this one part of this question. What does the firing of Jeff mean for the future content? I think, actually, Al did. But
no, I didn't. I only really talked about the current and the past.
Yeah, me too.
The future is a tough thing. That's shoot. I don't even know if I can answer that.
Depends on the reaction.
On GameSpot?
Say again?
Will there be future reviews on GameSpot?
I don't know. I don't know. Ethan, what'd you say, Ethan? Yeah.
I think it depends on the reaction. And
yeah.
If the reaction is extremely negative, then it teaches the industry a lesson. It teaches other publications that they can't do stuff like this. If GameSpot gets away with it and they start, and there's really nothing that they suffer in terms of loss of readership or loss of other advertising dollars, and that changes the industry in the other direction and makes it harder to have truly, you know, well, not objective, but objectively subjective video game reviews.
reviews that are based on your own opinion and not the dollars of someone else, basically.
Exactly. Yeah.
The other thing is, the fact that he got fired, getting fired is no. It's a serious, serious thing, and it doesn't really make a lot of sense that you would write a review like this and get fired for it. So, mm-hmm. I suspect that there's some other stuff going on. Either those other reviews that you mentioned add up to something that people got pissed off about.
That's a sentiment from people talking about this, like such as Frank, who's blogging on it on his LiveJournal. His sentiment is that it's the straw that broke the camel's back, you know, that type of thing. And from quote-unquote anonymous statements given to blogs by supposed insiders that they were saying that it was, like, I don't know, but they were saying that it was the straw that broke the camel's back. But what are you saying?
I think it's either that, because that seems like the logical answer, but I kind of feel like it might not be anything like that. It might be that the new staff was intentionally making a point. And they may have considered all this flack that they're going to get for doing something like this. And they may have weighed the risks and decided that it's better to fire somebody now and make an example of someone. And going forward, the advertisers would recognize that if we invest more dollars, we will get a more favorable review.
Oh, no, I totally agree that it could be that, too. I mean, but it all boils down to the reasoning is reprehensible.
Uh-huh.
I mean,
it's like the recall thing.
Right.
You know how they do recalls? Where they measure the amount of money that it takes to do a recall and measure it against
the
how
lawsuit,
much they would
yeah,
have
Fight
to pay
Club,
in
Fight
lawsuits.
Clubs.
Yeah, I saw Fight Club too, yeah.
Yeah, that's like real shit right there.
Yeah, and that's kind of what I like insinuated when I wrote like my new on the site editorial about this. Yeah. That's what I kind of insinuated when I wrote that. I was just like, does Jeff Gerstmann's salary plus the amount of advertising revenue you're going to get is that greater than like you know the goodwill of the people and you know the amount of subscriptions you're going to lose if you do this? Probably. So go ahead and do it. You know.
Right. Well, that's the same.
Yeah.
Just like you guys are saying, it's the same risk scenario that they run. These guys are not retarded. They're considering all this stuff when they fire him.
No, they're not retarded. They're just despicable. Yep.
Right, their morals may not be in the right place, but they're not retarded.
I mean, if we read one of the blogs later on, one of the comments, I'll get to it later. They said a supposed insider who commented on a blog anonymously, obviously because they don't want to get fucking fired, mm-hmm. Said that they wanted to take the site into a much more casual, friendly orientation. So, like, you don't need to be so hardcore anymore. You just need to inform the people, and you just, you know what I mean? Again, they hired a guy from Maxim.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that says it all to me. But let's move on to the third email. Wow. Only the third one. CJ Hope, who hasn't written in a while. CJ Hope 33. Hey guys, the Try Games I haven't wrote in a while, mainly because I haven't had much to say, but now that Jeff Gerstmann has been fired, I do. I always wanted to do video game journalism as a career, but now I really don't know. So I'll just get right to the point. How many other big video game sites do you think rate games higher or are pressured to rate games higher because of advertisement dollars?
Six and a half.
If it's more than a few, then my dream's crushed, and at least I got you guys in Penny Arcade for video game news. Rest in peace.
We don't have advertisements.
Rest in peace, Jeff Gerstmann, although he's not dead. Let's be clear on that. He's not dead.
Why has Jeff Gerstmann died? I heard it on Try Games first.
And if I was old enough to drink, I'd pour out one for you. You should drink anyways. Actually, no, I don't encourage that. I'm sure you will go on to do even bigger and better things, and all you guys at TryGames, keep the big letter I for integrity etched into your skin. That's a reference.
That's because we don't have the big letter A for advertising going into our site.
Exactly.
Or our asses, yeah.
We could say anything we want about idols. Fuck them. I'm not getting fired.
Fuck idols.
I'm not getting paid.
I say for this, we all get an E tattooed on our chest.
Not for
a
Ethan.
What?
Scarlet letter.
A what?
An E.
Oh, an E? Okay,
yeah, like
no, because it's scratched out over here.
Oh, jeez.
What?
Forget it. Huh?
Yeah, the audio scratched out over here. Never mind, move on!
There's a question, the first question.
Oh, right.
Let's see.
Don't do it. The evil.
How many other game sites do you think rate games
higher? Well, do you think IGN is subject to... because there was like a whole speculation about like Microsoft may like be like the parent company or some shit like that.
No.
Or in, like 6 degrees of separation from owning IGN or some bullshit like
but
that, right?
IGN is owned by freaking... Rupert Murdoch and fucking Fox.
Right.
Fox is not owned by Microsoft in any way, shape, or form.
No, okay, because somebody said that before.
So that somebody's a fucking twat.
Maybe Rupert Murdoch's married to, like...
Bill Gates'
sister-in-law or something.
Yeah, well, let's just put it this way. Rupert Murdoch has the most non-fucking-professional newscast ever. I mean, like, they are so irresponsible. They are irresponsible in reporting anything.
I love Sean Hannity and Bill O'Reilly.
You know, so now, you know, if he owns IGN, I mean, that kind of lowers the credibility there.
Yeah, but
you know,
as much as I personally like to shit on IGN just because it's fun to shit on them, like...
Yeah.
To give them the benefit of the doubt, I mean...
Yeah.
If they are run like any publication should be run... They are mm-hmm. not going to be bending towards any advertiser's will. I mean, you see the same thing where, and I think if anybody's interested who's listening, they can go read Tal Blevins' blog. Tal Blevins is the mm-hmm. editorial director for IGN. read his blog. I believe it's like, blog.ign.com/tal-ign or something like that. You can find it easily. But he basically says the same thing. He's like, no, you know, we don't do this. I've written shitty reviews on games that we've had ads for on mm-hmm. the review. There are ads on this review for this game, and I've given them shitty scores. You know, I don't pay that much attention to IGN's reviews, so I don't know if he's telling the truth or not. But
at this
point, we have to give them the benefit of the doubt. And, like, sure, mm-hmm, you can be cynical about it, but, I mean, this is – in the face of this, the way that everyone's reacting, you know, mm-hmm. 1UP.com, the people at Ziff Davis, marched over to the CNET building with a big-ass banner that says, we support our game reviewers, and, like, mm-hmm. made a lot of noise and commotion.
Pussies.
Huh?
Pussies.
Oh.
You suck.
What were you saying, Tony?
I was getting to the point that how irresponsible in reporting, you know, Rupert Murdoch's division is. So if you do actually want to work for somebody, I think it would be here because it seems they don't care. I mean, like, you know, they're not really coming down hard on their reviewers or anything else like that. In some cases, a lot of their reviews aren't really grammatically correct. So
no, they aren't.
Go for it.
They aren't. But I'll tell you this much, at least
they ain't.
They isn't. But I'll tell you this much, at least they're freaking, you know, giving you their opinion and not like the opinion of Nintendo.
Yeah, absolutely. So if you wanted to work for one of them, I would think IGN. I mean, you could still work for GameSpot, but who knows what that's going to turn out to be in the future.
There's actually a question on that later, which is kind of interesting. I may not like the IGN reviews, but or the way that, you know, just their sites laid out or whatever, but mm-hmm. perfect example, Matt Casamassina, who's in charge of the Nintendo channel, you know, mm-hmm. does everything with Wii, he had a very good relationship with Perrin Kaplan, who was over at Nintendo as, like, I think the VP of marketing and sales. Like, they had a very, very friendly relationship as in terms of, like, you know, reporter and mm-hmm. Person who he's getting his information from. But, you know, he didn't hold back when it came, like, he put up all these articles about, one, Nintendo's doing a really shitty job of promoting Metroid Prime. Two, mm-hmm. Nintendo needs to get voice chat in their system. Three, Nintendo's mm-hmm. online playing stinks. Get it better. And he did all that even though he has a great relationship with those people. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So he wasn't mm-hmm. bending to any pressure. Like, she would come on and say, like, hey, Matt, what's the big deal? You know, like, why are you sassing us? And he'd be like, this is why. You know, you, yep. you know, we.
And she would take it.
And she would take it. You know, and she'd be like, understood.
She takes a lot of stuff.
Yeah, but let's move on to this next email. A lot of people. This is from Halo. LCFR. A lot of people have spoken about who will take over Jeff's position at GameSpot. If that had to be you, would you take it? People have mentioned that it would be rather difficult for that person to accept the position, knowing very well how they got it in the first place and what they need to do in order to maintain their position. Mm-hmm. I know Jeff would certainly not make a fuss about it, but would you honestly deep down inside feel bad about taking it? Or even worse, would you feel secure knowing that the corporate twats personally don't care about you or your opinion and that you're easily disposable as far as they're concerned?
Wow. They're always going to take a bootlicker. The next fucking person that'll bend to their will, he'll freely take the position. Yeah. So, would you take it, Austin?
You know what? If I were offered it, I would. I would take it, and I would try to do what Jeff and Greg did. I would try to continue to press on what they were doing, even if that meant me getting caned in a month. Mm-hmm. So at least I gave it a shot.
Because that would at least show that you're not a bootlicker.
Right, well, exactly.
Because people would be naysaying you as soon as you got the job. Oh, you just got the job because you're corporate bootlicker. You're just going to write 10s for everything that got ads for the site. And you're going to write like a 3 for like a game that has an ad point into it. You're like, buy this game. 3, it's shit.
Yeah.
And then you're going to get fired.
But like,
I say you do it and then you write intentionally bad reviews for great games.
No.
That's even worse.
You can't do that.
That's even worse.
But yeah,
there's no integrity.
I mean, the key here is, and this goes for a lot of people who are actually canceling their subscriptions to GameSpot and saying they'll leave. You know what? Cancel the subscriptions because it'll show in dollars.
Yep.
But
and that's all they see.
But don't leave the site because you're leaving behind a lot of friends who will stay and like who kind of. Here's how I see it. You stay behind. To you know, because a GameSpot's a lot more than an editorial. It's about the community that is built up there. Mm-hmm. So
you got to pay for that.
Yeah. So you put on you install an ad blocker in Firefox so you don't see the ads. You stay on the site. You rally. I guess this is metaphorically speaking because you don't actually see these people in person. But you rally around the people who are still there. You know you start writing letters to the management. You start making it apparent on the forums. Civilly, I might add, don't start cursing people out. And you make it apparent on the forums or in your blogs or in your editorials that appear on the front page. You start talking about what the situation needs and how it's negative. You know, you have an influence from the kind of from the inside. You know, and if they start to cancel your member accounts, there you go. You know, then mm-hmm. there's evidence of them like trying to censor you and trying to uphold, you know, whatever corporate PR image they have left, you know, which is the same reason as why people shouldn't run away from this job. If you have some integrity, go for the job, even though you know you'll get canned in a month, you know, go and try to shake things back up the way they were. Try to get this Josh Larson douche removed, you know, talk to the upper management that's still there from before. You know, and if you fail, you fail. I mean, but, you know, you have to obviously be willing to risk, like, hey, I'm leaving my job for this job that won't last but a month. You know, it depends on how much you're willing to sacrifice. And San Francisco is a very expensive place to live. So,
or just find more money, make a game, invest in GameSpot, and prove that they're taking the money and giving great reviews for it because you know intentionally you made the game shitty. So any rich kids out there, make a really bad game for like $1 million, then pay them $1 million to give it a 10.
That sounds like an investigative kind of thing, like a Dateline kind of thing.
Exactly.
Intentionally made
catch a predator.
Game. Yeah, to catch.
Ton Chris Hansen.
Yeah.
To catch
GameSpot editor walks into a kitchen. You're like, hey, I paid you money for this.
What
you know
you,
it's true.
What are you seat, doing right here? Are you enjoying those cookies?
No. Sit down. Right
sit down. I just
what's the petroleum jelly for?
Are you a cop?
No. Don't worry about me for now. I want to know about you. Yeah. I have this transcript
I think you
here.
Should know.
Oh, I thought she was 21.
I'm Chris Henson.
You want to start
with
again?
Dateline NBC.
I have the transcript here. You know we record everything.
All right, move on.
No one else wants to take a crack at that question? I'm willing to move on. I just want to know.
I don't know if I would want to.
Well, let's put it this way. I wouldn't quit to take it because...
The question is a little bit, like, I think the question needs to be, well, you could rewrite the question, like, it's not that would you take the job and then stick to your guns. It's really, are you capable of...
Bending to their will.
Yeah.
No,
and,
I don't
and,
think
and,
that, that's what he's asking. That's the thing. It's like, if
I think that was
to
later
be
part,
you,
no?
would you take it and...
No, but he's saying, would you take it knowing you'd have to do that? So that, you know what I mean? Like, it's not that you can take it and then not do it.
Well,
oh, if
you
had to
take
it, still
that you're
right,
going to be a corporate bitch.
Yeah.
I mean, I think, like everybody, it's an easy answer to say, I would stick to my beliefs. It's a harder answer to really look.
Let's say that there are two questions in there then. Let's say that there's Al's version and there's Ethan's version, okay? Al's version, yes, I would take it and fuck him. Ethan's version, if like, in good conscience, if I were required to do this and there was no other way, like, if there was some magical restriction in the universe saying that when you take this job, you will not be able to stick it to them, no, I would not take it. No. Mm-hmm. Not at all.
That's kind of what it is.
It's it's not a magical restriction. It's just the guidelines to keep your job.
Right.
Right,
exactly.
But I guess what I was saying is that in your version of the question that, like, no, I wouldn't keep my job, but I would take it anyways to try to start the change.
Right, right.
That's what I'm saying.
Meaning that, like, in Ethan's version of the question, there really is no change. It's like you're going to go and you're going to be so concerned with keeping a job that you're going to be a corporate bitch.
Right. No, I wouldn't do that.
Yeah, I wouldn't do it either.
Eddie,
I would.
Eddie, good for you. Eddie's 99.
You're a fucking lapdog anyway, Ethan.
Says, he's just ranting. Money brings out the evil in all of us. Just because your game sucked, you won't pay. Just because you're being a bitch and decide I want my game to look good or no moolah. Someone gets fired, it shatters the foundation of a community of gamers, and all hell breaks loose. All hell indeed. This whole situation burns me up. Up indeed.
Mm-hmm.
Burn indeed.
Me indeed.
I mean,
whole indeed.
There's so many people that I have met in GameSpot who they're coming back. They're like, oh, I saw so many people leaving. I'm leaving too. Just wanted to let everybody know that. Everybody's like, fuck this, I'm out.
And they say, wait, I changed my mind.
Oh, I haven't seen that.
No, a lot of people are doubling back, and it's like, you
know
what? This is the one thing I kind of – that's why I was saying that people should stick behind and stay with the community that they've been a part of. It's like – it's such a reactionary, like, oh, I'm going to leave thing. And it's like if you want to leave, that's understandable. But, like, a few of them, like, coming back, it's like, see? You didn't think this through.
That's because it's knee-jerk.
Yeah.
You got to make the relationship work. If the sex isn't good, try new things.
It's so stupid.
Rich Ball
says... Go sit
says,
on a porcelain throne.
Richard Ball says, okay, hello, first off, great podcast as always. Sorry I had to download episode 71 directly from the site. Because the RSS feed kept... Again? Shit. The RSS feed kept giving me some kind of error. I didn't comment it sooner. Sorry about that. 72 did download just fine. Okay, that's good. And I just hope it was that one episode that was giving me problems. I'll take a look at the RSS feed again. Anybody who sees problems, feel free to email us and let us know about any bugs you see. Let's see. But updating infrequently is not a bug. So let's see. First, a comment. A few episodes back, Austin made the comment that there were Sony fans who were waiting for the PS3 price drop, regardless if there wasn't a game out for the console that interested them. Mm-hmm. Case in point, my best friends, they're what you call Sony fans, though not fanboys. They have all had the Sony consoles. I tried to get them to buy 360s, but they refuse and always give me the same answers. I gotta pay to play online? Fuck that, on PlayStation I can play for free. And it don't got SOCOM on it. So when the price dropped, now they were interested. When they came to my apartment 2 weeks ago, I showed them all the things the PS3 could do, let them play the Uncharted demo, Warhawk, and Stranglehold. Then I showed them the new PS3 ads, and they were sold. Sure enough, they went out there on Black Friday, picking up PS3s and a copy of COD4. I still need to play that game. That looks awesome. So at Austin's point, there were people waiting for the price drop. I do have a question or two. I know this episode, you're reading this email, is mainly going to be about the big mess that's going on at GameSpot. I really don't know if I should leave. I think I just answered that before, but let me continue reading this. I've invested a lot of time into the site and built up a good network of friends because of the site. My question would be, what ground should a person leave GameSpot for after this mess? Also, I'm interested to know... Okay, I'll save that question for last. What ground should you leave when you feel no longer comfortable supporting the site? And you don't feel any value in the friendships that you've built up there and you know you can... Not that you don't feel any value, but you know that you can support those friendships elsewhere.
Or when the sex is bad, right?
Or
Ethan?
When the sex is
exactly.
Bad.
If you feel that someone's creating a hostile environment for you and you feel abused, you should leave.
That's true.
Don't
like
take
your dad's
it. Don't,
house.
Don't get help. You don't need to be in that relationship.
Uh huh.
That's it.
You could always go to game trailers.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was the running joke yesterday.
Yeah, everyone was going to game trailers. But like, you know, honestly, I don't like their interface. I don't like game trailers interface that much, so...
I don't know anything about game trailers, so I wouldn't dare.
Right.
Also, I mean, like, it's a matter of what do you think your limit is? If you agree that there's money to be made and you understand that there's always going to be bureaucracy and,
right.
you know, this is just a sign of the times. Everybody's pretty much going to have to bend to the whim of the corporate masters. And you're accepting of that, then there's no reason for you to leave,
right.
because you've already succumbed to the mindset that this is the way things are going to be.
That's a good point. That's a good point. There's also the point that some people aren't there for the reviews anyway. So
right,
you know,
right.
I mean, if you want to do something in a show of solidarity and you don't mind giving up all the perks that the site has to offer, because really, I mean, as slow as it is, I do think it's a very good site. I mean, that's why I freaking started writing for it. But like,
slow.
It's,
sorry.
What'd you say?
Slow.
Slow?
Yeah, it's always slow.
Slow.
Tracks make me slow.
But yeah, I mean, it's really just when you feel uncomfortable patronizing a site like that. And then he says the last question, I'm interested to know how you got your review of Ghost Sports Ski on GameSpot. What is the process of getting freelance work? I just asked someone on staff. I said, hey, I'm interested. Are you looking? I don't know who I should ask, so I'm asking you. They said, I'll put your request forth. Please send me writing. And I sent them writing, and they said, your writing's good. You're hired. That's about it. I mean, basically, if they have availability, if they have demand for work, mm-hmm. Which they didn't at the time that I asked them, but like, they said, wait on it, you know, and that's it. You know, if there's work there, there's work there. If there's not work there, you wait. And then if there's work, they get back to you if they like your writing.
And just make sure your reviews agree with corporate America like Austin did.
Yeah. Because Ubisoft really appreciated my 4.5 on Red Steel. Piece of shit game. God, that was horrible.
Oh, man.
Oh, we going to speak like a Japanese man.
I got a comment. I'm sorry. You know, Eidos is pretty much, they have Tomb Raider to fall back on, right? I mean, like, didn't they make millions with that?
I don't think they have.
Well, they have a lot of games to fall back on. They've made games that have made money.
I mean, why this? I mean, like,
I don't know how well they're doing, though, to be quite honest. I heard rumblings earlier this year that they were kind of middle of the road.
Shouldn't really be causing as much fuss. I mean, like,
there is Hitman. Hitman is I don't know how financially successful it is, though.
Well, they have the movie that's tanking.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Timothy Oliphant.
Yeah,
that's
what
right.
happened to his head?
I don't know. But, you know, the guy who, Plant Tassett, who's, or Jameson V, or Three With Lives, or however you want to call his name, uh-huh. he had a video up of the guy who actually did voice acting for Hitman, the Hitman.
Oh, yeah.
And they showed the guy, and he was in a movie, and I watched him, and I'm like, he should be the Hitman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not only is he Hitman in the game, but, like, he's got the look. Anyway, so go
and
ahead.
It's not like Oliphant is a big actor, anyway. I mean, what was he in? Go? Gone in 60 Seconds? He's a support
Girl
character.
Girl Next Door.
Yeah.
They lost money.
I'm sorry?
They lost big money.
Yeah, check the chat.
big money! No whammy, no whammy. They have all these, you know, they had a franchise to fall back on, and they had money, there was money to be made in their division, you know. They made a bad game. Why can't they just live with it? That's it. I mean, why go through the extra step of going to CNET and pressuring them? Hey, we gave you advertising dollars. Your man wrote a bad review. You got to do something.
PR has its job, and that's what their job is, unfortunately. But
yeah,
it's
fucked up, man. Tit fits?
Yeah. Boob begets boob.
It's really actually Nick, aka Drac, who was with us a couple episodes ago, was you know, now that he's also writing for a website called Game Revolution, you know, he's another writer. He commented on this. Let's see. He says this is on his blog. Since I've been at Game Revolution, there always seems to be one particular PR person who is irritated with us. Whether it's how Metacritic or Game Ranking converts our letter grades to numerical ones, why there is no coverage for such and such, or why I gave Rock Band a B+. This trend has been escalating. According to Duke Ferris, who is my boss, publishers are inching ever closer to breaking that line between professionalism and just being plain obnoxious. Since until a month ago, it was rare that any PR person would call us up over a grade. But something about these last 6 months, maybe the holiday season, or global warming, or the rise in pirates, has made some publishers all uppity in their pants. If you have all this time to call us for a grade that you think is unfair, why not ask the developers to just make a better game?
Exactly.
Sure. free, bless you. Sure, free swag, free drinks, free dinners, and free trips are nice and all. But don't think for 1 second that I'm not going to bash your game if it deserves it. Don't give something we didn't ask for and expect critics to like you. We don't bark and we don't roll over. I also read that, and I think this was on either Frank Provost's blog or on current GameSpot staffer Ryan Davis's blog when he was reminiscing about Jeff, that they Microsoft handed out like 50-inch LCD TVs, HD TVs, at one of their press conferences.
Wish I was there.
Nobody on GameSpot took a TV. Even though it was free, and even though they just gave it out just for fun, nobody on GameSpot took a TV. Nobody on Ziff Davis or 1UP on EGM ever took a TV. No one on IGN ever took a TV. Because as innocent as that was, as like non-indirect as it was, just saying, hey, it's a press conference, we're just giving away TVs, whatever. They said, nope.
It was a bribe.
We cannot
take a TV.
Said, nope, we cannot take it.
We totally should have taken TVs and gone
fuck
to
yeah.
it.
Yeah,
I would have given Halo a 3.
Tri-Game should have showed up. We would have taken
the TV and given Halo like a 1.
Yeah, absolutely. Would have been awesome.
I got your TV, bitch.
And I got
and then we could have recorded a video review on the TV.
Yeah.
And posted it.
This TV is shit.
See, look at Halo on this 50-inch TV playing it through like composite. This game is shit. 3.0.
Poor. I feel dirty, but I've got a TV.
Okay. Yeah, exactly.
Next email from Unlived Phalanx on GameSpot.
Is it Phalanx?
I think it's Phalanx. He
okay.
He writes.
I think it's Phalanx.
He writes
Phalanx.
For I believe a local newspaper where he lives.
Oh, okay.
So he's also kind of in the industry. Trigames, how do you think the recent scene at debacle will alter how advertisement relationships are handled online and in print, or do you think they will, or do you not think they will change at all? If they do change, what changes are you expecting to see? Just real quickly, I think it really depends, as Ethan has already said, on the readership's reaction and what they see as a result of this. You know, if they don't see any decline in traffic or any lashback or any, you know, canceled subscriptions that are meaningful to them, they will.
It ain't nothing gonna change.
You're gonna see more of it.
Nothing's gonna change. You're gonna see more of it. As far as how they're handled elsewhere, I think a place like Ziff Davis, who like absolutely refuses to back down on anything, especially after after you see people like Dan Shu and former news guy Luke Smith and Patrick Klepek following in his footsteps, how adamant they are about reporting things correctly. Some places will tighten up even more, possibly. Mm-hmm. It depends on how much they can afford to do so without destroying the livelihood of their jobs, which is, their salary. Mm-hmm. Personally, I would hope that the advertisements go from, games and gaming-related stuff to, shit that is targeted towards the audience but not towards the industry. And I know that sounds impractical, but I'm kind of paranoid now. Let's suppose that on a video gaming site you have advertisements for Axe Body Spray, Mountain Dew, Pepsi, McDonald's, Burger King, of which there's plenty. Tony knows that.
Yeah, I'm going to say we have all that already.
Yeah, or Intel. Not AMD, because they review video cards and AMD owns ATI. But Intel, cell phone companies.
Can I interrupt for just a quick second?
Ham.
No. Beer. No, I'm kidding. Go ahead.
Jergens.
Go ahead, Al.
Jergens.
Jergens. No. Are you saying that what if this happens?
I'm saying I would like to kind of see what would happen if they did that, because that removes a lot of the conflict of interest between reviewing a game and advertising for it. Because instead of advertising for the game, you're advertising for things that gamers like, but they're not the games. That's why I said Mountain Dew and all that stuff. But
they
what?
Do that already on GameSpot.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean exclusively.
Oh.
It's an impractical hope. But I'm saying if that were to happen, that could help,
Right.
Another question.
Instead of having a game, it's skin the site, make a trailer, their ad goes straight to the game. You can have Axe Body Spray only on GameSpot.
And for all the mech IGN we like to tease IGN about, I'd rather IGN be covered in ads for McDonald's than Kane and Lynch.
I guess.
There's another kind of option.
I know it was traumatic for you, Al, but I mean, think about it. The site has to fucking make money.
Yeah, I know.
That shit. IKEA changed from like a silver and like whatever color the console.
They were they were always ugly
red
anyways.
And yellow, red and yellow all over, and the golden arches all over the goddamn place. That shit was scary. And working for Acclaim at the time, we all had jokes.
Yeah, I'd still rather if I had to choose, I'd rather have that than like an innocent game ad in the corner. I'd rather have the McDonald's thing.
Ethan, and well, just if it's just an innocent ad, that's okay.
For a game?
Ethan.
No, at this point, at this
for McDonald's.
No, yeah, I know. But I'm saying, like, if it were an innocent game ad versus an obnoxious McDonald's ad, I would rather, at this point, knowing what's happened, given this situation, now, before I might not have said this, but now I will say that I'd rather have the plaster of the red and yellow in the French fries.
You know, it would be even funnier if, in some kind of alternate reality, like, McDonald's would pull advertising dollars if, say, I don't want to say a McDonald's game because that's just too obvious.
Too obvious.
But like, MC say if, Kids.
Say if IGN made a bad review of Mass Effect and McDonald's was like, oh, we're pulling advertising dollars, and then they fired a guy who did the review for that. That would be so weird.
That would be
weird.
Fucked up.
That would be really fucked up. Everybody would have whiplash. They'd be like, what the fuck? Why?
Yeah.
Because the exec CEO loves Mass Effect
and fries. Did someone else want to say something on this question?
Yeah, I was just. Oh, I'm sorry,
go ahead, Tony.
Ethan. You go. You
no,
had
go
it first,
for it,
right?
Dude. Go.
I was reading the question, and is he like trying to like ask about like if there's going to be a ripple effect or like is this?
I think that is part of the question. Will there be a ripple effect? Mm-hmm.
And you know, are other advertisers going to look at this and say, holy shit, we should have done this a long time ago. They got away with it, now we can. You know, and
that is
a scary
proposition.
That is a scary proposition. I mean, maybe they are trendsetters. Maybe they're pioneers. They just fucked the whole system.
I will say, I don't necessarily think they're pioneers necessarily because, I mean, if you look...
Oh, it's been done before. I'm just saying in this
like,
realm.
For a site that is not a mainstream site, for a site that is dedicated towards a certain niche, you know, or a niche or whatever you want to call it. Like, like for example, I'll bring up the Maxim. I'll bring up the Maxim example again. You know, Maxim, of course they'll be like, everybody reads our articles for the nipples. They don't read it for the game. So, yeah, sure, we'll give your game 5 stars. Just give us some money. Okay. But, you know, that's a mainstream publication, and that's not where people should be going to for gaming news. Mm-hmm. You go to a site like GameSpot, 1UP, IGN, all that other type of stuff. You expect them to be able to give you unbiased news. You know, you expect them to not have to bend towards advertising, and that's you know, it's a shame if that would happen to this realm. I think I can't remember where I read this. There was, or maybe this was in Tal's blog. They were talking about how Rolling Stone went through the same thing, and PC World did the same thing.
Fired two of their writers.
So what was the result?
I think for the PC Magazine one. They actually, it's right here. It's in Tal Blevins' blog, so let me go find it.
The PC Gamer Day rehired.
The PC, it was PC World, I think it was for like product.
No, but what happened with the Rolling Stone? Because I'm less interested in the tech community.
I'm trying to find it. Let's see. So, Rolling Stone.
I don't remember seeing a result from the Rolling Stone one.
No, I don't think
here.
So.
With that said, writers being fired for their opinions isn't new. Oh. He's not really necessarily talking about advertising. He's saying writers being fired for their opinions isn't new, isn't relegated to just video game reporters. A quick Google search on the topic shows that at least two Rolling Stone writers have been subject to this type of axing in the past. Lester Bangs and Jim DeRogatis.
He got fired for his name. Lester Bangs.
More recently, Harry McCracken. Or maybe it's McCracken. All right. Harry McCracken from PC World resigned over a dispute with management that involved management not wanting the editors of PC World to be so harsh on potential advertisers with their top 10 things we hate about da-da-da-da-da article series. In a logically ironic twist to the story, McCracken was reinstated and Colin Crawford, the former CEO of IDG, the publishing house, who encouraged him to leave, ended up being demoted because of the credibility-destroyed decision. And yes, when marketing and sales becomes involved in the editorial process, especially the critical editorial process, it does devastate the credibility of a trusted source and ruins the entire reason readers look to the source as a beacon of professional knowledge in the first place.
The question
is going to be if GameSpot's readers are more casual gamers.
Right. That is a question.
If they're presented with information that suggests that GameSpot reviews aren't fair or have take influence from marketers, will they, like, what's driving them to that site? Is it objective reviews? Is it an easy navigate, you know, easily navigating website? Is it the pretty colors?
Yeah, and then they'll go and they'll do some research, and if they find that they'll be fine doing what they're doing, they're going to keep on doing it.
But I mean, I think what's interesting is, I don't know if casual gamers go to review websites.
I totally
they
agree.
Sometimes do.
Sometimes they.
Right, they sometimes do, but I don't think that's where GameSpot's making any money. They're not subscribing to GameSpot.
Agree, yeah.
They're not getting a huge number
there.
Of ad views.
I agree with you there.
And so they in that sense, like as I think about it, I kind of feel like it is going to have a backlash against GameSpot, which is good. And I'm less pessimistic.
Right.
Because I think the readers, the ones who pay,
the
ones who come back.
Though I will say I'm sorry, were you done? I'm sorry.
No. I was just going to say that I think that those people are... I mean, there's a range of obviously like hardcore gamers or non-hardcore gamers, but I would say that they're more... You know, if anybody's going to look at a review for a game in the first place, you're looking around the industry.
Right.
You're reading
right.
publications.
I think that's what... that's what the management's purpose is to make it friendly for the casual person to come and visit that site, and that's probably why they're trying to get up all this advertising revenue so that they can have the money to push to make the effort to transition this site. And I can tell you right now, like I'm pretty sure that the staffers right there are probably like bullshit. Like we don't want this to happen. You know, we don't.
Wait, maybe it's a conspiracy. Maybe he got paid to be fired from Eidos so that they would get extra press, and the game would get in the press because they knew it was a shitty game. Then everybody go buy it and see what the hubbub's about.
That's awesome. Jeff Gerstmann used to work for Eidos?
Yes.
Jackass.
You heard it here.
Let's move on to the last question. One of our contributors, Alan Bella, who is actually now writing for Advanced Media Network, the gaming site, I think. So congratulations on that. I didn't get to congratulate you earlier, so sorry about that, but good job. And he's only 15, so he's getting started early. Hey guys, wow. It's Anthony. My questions are about the incident with Jeff getting fired. I'm no legal expert, so I'm not sure about this. But can Jeff take some legal action against CNET? Considering the situation, I'd think he'd have the right to sue due to a wrongful firing.
No, but
I
if they
know.
Had him sign something, no, if they had him sign a release saying that this is why you lose your job. Now, here's the whole thing. I just posted something on the end of this string.
Okay.
If you look down and read that was from a little later on. I just took a snippet from there.
Oh, the rock, paper,
just
shotgun
read that.
Thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Now the whole thing is that I'm not sure if I could say this. So, Austin, if you have to edit this out, just let me know.
Well, if you're talking about it from what you've read from public knowledge, then that's fine.
Well, I'm going to read from what you have on the string. We have a reliable source who tells us that...
Yeah, that's on a website, though, so, I mean, it's exposed
Gerstmann
to everybody.
Okay, wasn't
yeah.
the most popular...
No, start over.
I'm sorry. We have a reliable source who tells us that while Gerstmann wasn't the most popular man with the CNET owners, it was his Kane and Lynch review alone that allegedly saw him lose his job. Now, to me, what that means is if you're not popular with somebody, especially in upper management, they'll look for any single reason to fire you. Like, maybe this wasn't the straw that broke the camel's back.
But they were using that as the...
Exactly, right. as an excuse to get rid of somebody who they knew they wanted to replace. And maybe they
Could
already
be.
Had the guy from Max in the wings. Maybe
right.
they were already talking to him. Maybe they were already wooing him to get away from Maxim. Like, that's a hard fucking job.
So
know,
maybe there's no story.
Maybe there is no story. Maybe this thing just was a convenient tool for them to use to get rid of somebody
that they didn't
want in the first place.
It bears mentioning, though, that there is a reason why they didn't like him, and that reason has direct ties to the editorial process.
Okay.
So, and we'll actually get to that in a second.
No, that's fair. That's fair.
No,
but
that's
it's
fair,
still, you
but,
at least you
yeah.
at least bring it up. No, it's a good it's a good point to bring up. There,
mm-hmm.
It could be that there's no story,
right. no,
or
no, no,
that
no,
the
agreed,
story
agreed.
Is different.
There could be, but I think that there still is because of
fair.
Why they dislike him. As we'll,
he
we'll,
smells
we'll get
bad.
To that.
That's
we'll
what
get
I heard.
In a second, but what,
getting back to the legal
yeah, yeah.
legal question of this, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to. I just wanted to shed light on
no,
that
that's
because
a, that's
it sounds
good, that's a good good point.
Yeah,
there. Yeah,
it sounds suspicious to me now. But getting back to the legalities of this, if he was reprimanded many times before for either his editorial or anything, and if he signed what we call write ups, you know, in lower forms of management, okay, if he was in, you know, in violation of certain things, and they told him and warned him constantly about it, then, you know, in some cases, three strikes, you're out.
Right.
And
right.
they have every legal right to fire you. And right. you could write on the bottom of the letter, you know, I disagree with this termination and stuff like that. But, you know, legally, they are absolved from any legal legal recourse, mm-hmm. unless it's like sexual harassment, unless it's like, you know, something where right. they where you're under contract and they just you know, they just sold your contract or whatever to somebody else, whatever, you know, whatever, yeah. whatever it is. Okay. The only legal recourse he would have is if they unduly fired him, which means
I think it's
that
discrimination, racial discrimination.
I'm sorry.
I think it's racial discrimination. Why he got fired.
Anyway, it's
so the, dumb
when you look at, especially it depends on what his contract was when he started with them, which was 11 right. years ago, by the way, he was the face. Isn't that fucked up? The face of a site is ousted because of this. It's ridiculous. But
yeah, I mean,
he's one half of who made the site what it was and how they handled their stuff. But anyway, what mm-hmm. I was saying is that if his contract at the beginning was an employment at will and a termination at will contract, mm-hmm. they don't have to give any reason for firing him.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. I
if
mean,
it was
they,
if
they
it was employment at will, they could just say you're gone and not have to provide an explanation. So everybody who's worried about this type of shit. If you are adamant against getting fired for no reason, which I believe everyone should be, but if you're willing to sacrifice a job opportunity for that, if your contract says employment at will, then don't sign it and look for another job because that means they can fire you for anything.
Yeah, it's the same thing as if they hire you on probation. Like, there's some jobs that put you on 2-year probation,
which
is like
that's
stupid.
A long ass time.
Which is like in 2 years, anything you do. That they don't like, you're gone.
Yeah.
And you have no legal recourse.
Yeah.
You know? I've seen it before. I mean, like, there's the only real legal recourse you have is if they did not honor their end of the contract, which means that they fired you, they made up a reason, you don't agree with it. And again, this is not a union job.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Okay? So he has no shop steward to talk to. He has nobody to, you know, from the union to go and back him up. There's nobody going on strike for him, okay? And, you know, there's nobody going into the boardroom to try to negotiate. There's nothing. There's just him and his job, and now it's gone. Does he have a legal recourse to it? I don't think so. You know,
he's got his unemployment.
Yeah, I mean, but if he is terminated due to something that he violated, he is not entitled to unemployment.
That's true. Well, it might.
So,
is that a federal?
The
law?
Only way you get unemployment, yeah, that is.
Okay.
The only way you get unemployment
laid
is
off.
If you get laid off, or you know you are replaced by somebody.
Right.
Not for a violation. If it's violation, you get nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That's what I thought.
So you know, but this guy, it's not like he's going to hurt. Somebody's going to pick him up.
Everyone who knows him is like, he will be fine. The bigger picture that we're concerned
it
about.
It may turn out that from pressure, okay, GameSpot might just rehire him and say, oh, we made a big mistake. You know, oh, we acted rashly. You know, we'll hire you back at more pay if you want to come back.
Yeah.
It may happen. You know, it's wishful thinking, but it may. You know, if the pressure is that great on them.
You hear that, everybody? Sign a petition.
I want to answer the second question, though.
Yeah. What, if anything, do you think will happen to Eidos Interactive? Go.
I don't think anything will happen. I mean, they definitely won't sell Kane and Lynch unless it's to people who are uninformed, because now everyone who is informed knows that there are inherent problems with the game, and these are the inherent problems. It's not worth to buy it unless you're kind of sort of interested in what it has to offer, but you don't want to pay full price.
Think they'll boycott this game?
No. I don't think they'll boycott the game. I think that they just won't buy it because they now know. I mean, all of the information about this game is
publicized.
You know, publicized. So it's not like it's a great game that got publicized for something and now people want to buy it. It's like a shitty game that's being publicized and now people are like, I don't think I want to buy this now.
Yeah, where people might have just been visiting blogs or whatnot and they don't really go to GameSpot for scores and whatnot or anything like that. And then they see on every blog, they're like, oh, Jeff Gerstmann fired. Why was he fired? Oh, because Kane and Lynch was a shitty game and he told the truth. Huh?
Oh. And then now they're like, let me read this review instead of looking at the number.
And then they're like, oh, they pulled the video review down. What was so bad about the review? Oh, they have it on YouTube. Let me watch it. You know, mm-hmm.
this you guys game see the is user ugly. Score?
Yeah.
What was that, Ethan?
You guys see the user score?
It's like 2.6 now.
2.6.
Hold up. What, wait, how much one is second, that is truth? 1 second. Hold up. Hold up. Okay. Let's see. Kane and Lynch.
How much of that is scorn? I mean, like, just like this.
A lot. It's probably a there's 3,000 votes, so it's a lot.
Okay.
They're upset. That's interesting.
I'm going
actually.
To GameSpot right now. I've clicked on Kane and Lynch Dead Men for the 360.
Send a link so I can go there.
Where is the slider? Yeah. There's a slider.
Ethan, okay. You're not leaving at one.
My score, I have given it a 1. Okay.
I'm going to give it a 10.
Yeah.
10.
You're an
all the way up,
you're
baby.
An asshat.
Did you 10. Even? Did you? You did play this.
No.
Ethan.
I don't
he
think
was
he
lying
did.
When he
he
said
was lying
that.
His ass off.
He said the game was great. He was lying.
I'm going to Kane and Lynch for PS3. And I'm going to move the slider down to 1. I don't give a shit if I get in trouble for this. I really don't give a shit. 1. There we go. The user score for the PS3 version is 3.3. That's still too high. That means that fewer PS3 owners are buying it. But yeah, I think that if you look at a pie chart of the people who buy Eidos' games versus the people who actually are hardcore enough to go to game sites a lot and actually have the mentality to boycott any of Eidos' games, it'll be a very, very small sliver of the pie.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Unless this gets out.
Well, it's a small pie in the first place.
That's true. That's true. But I think that the average Joe who walks into the game store says, yo, let me get this game. Do you shoot people in it? Yeah, okay. They don't go to GameSpot and like say, oh, wow, Eidos is creepy. I'm going to boycott them. I'm not going to buy this game. No, they're just going to be like, what's a GameSpot? they'll walk into GameStop and be like, oh, is that your
website?
Is that your website? And they're like, no, GameSpot's different. What's different? Isn't it the same name? They don't even know the difference. They don't fucking know the difference. So no, I don't think it'll... Unfortunately, I don't think anything will happen to Eidos. And truthfully, Eidos isn't the first one to do this. I mean, I'm sure there are tons of publishers out there who get hissy and who get angry and who threaten to pull their advertising. I think it's a precedent set by CNET that they're willing to bend over backwards and expose their anuses for this crap. For a niche to putting a niche gaming site in danger. So mm-hmm. I don't think anything necessarily will happen to Eidos. Nor do I necessarily think anything should. Only because if you boycott Eidos, you probably have to boycott every single publisher out there. They do this. This is the way it works. It's not right, but it's the way it works. And you know the blame I think more squarely rests on CNET. Note I say CNET, not GameSpot. A lot of people want to blame GameSpot, and yes, GameSpot's credibility is what's shot, but they're not the ones who instigated any of this, really. You know what I mean? It's the parent company, it's CNET, it's management, it's the parents. Blame the parents!
Yeah, parents, you guys, you suck.
That was very eloquent, Al, thank you.
You're welcome.
Do you guys want to chime in on what will happen to Eidos, or should we just move on to discussing the rest of this and like just kind of piling through this material or whatnot?
Let us discuss.
Yeah, let's just go on.
Okay. So, let's see.
Do you guys see the number of comments on the Kane and Lynch review?
Yeah. 3,000,
No. The comments.
Oh, the comments. Oh, no.
On his
review.
On his blog?
On his blog.
Sorry, not the review. It's the latest one. He's just like blabbing about
Rock Band,
and then all of a sudden it's like, you know, there's 67 comments and some 50 and another 57, and then there's 350.
Yeah.
Oh, now it's 350?
And they're all about people just like, you suck, but you shouldn't have got fired.
I didn't want to read it because I knew it was going to be, like, unrelated.
He still has his game. See, that, I mean, regardless of whether you agree or disagree with him, like, show some fucking respect. I mean, mm-hmm. like, oh, you
I think they do, for the most
part. You suck, but...
No. They are. They're doing it.
Okay.
They, I think for the most part, they are, you know, like this one from Aaron Film Limited. I don't know who the hell that is. Mm. Jeff, although you don't know
right,
me, I feel like I'm losing
one.
A friend. You know, these are
yeah,
fair.
No, but I'm saying, like this first one, sometimes you are biased towards the game. What is bias towards the game? No, that's just this is my opinion towards the game. No. And for anyone who's listening, this username is TeddyDX, TeddyDX. Give him a thumbs down and slap this motherfucker around his twat.
but for the most part, okay. I mean, as I look down these, they're...
That's good, that's good.
Yeah.
But let's see, what I want to really read was the anonymous post on ValleyWag.com about what happened in the meeting room. And remember, this is anonymous. This is not verified to be a GameSpot editor.
Okay.
But, it sounds like it could be, you know? It's written that way. So, let's see. Where is this shittity? Okay.
Down at the end.
All right. This is on ValleyWag.com again. This is a Gawker site, so you can get to it. www.valleywag.com. Let's see. The headline is GameSpot editor ? On fired reviewer. We never know for sure, and this guy is kind of snarky. I think he's too cynical to realize that yes, this can happen. That you can get fired over giving a bad review score. But he says we never know for sure if the commentards are who they claim to be. But one Prodigious poster with the account GameSpot is telling what reads like a credible insider story. It's written in editor speak of what happened to ex CNET GameSpot reviewer. Let's not mince words. He was the editorial director. All right, guy. Okay, GameSpot reviewer Jeff Gerstmann supposedly fired for low scoring an advertiser's new game. GameSpot's posts are in need of a 100-word versioning, but it's Friday, so forget about it. Here's the whole thing. No, if he's telling everything, let him fucking talk, douchebag. Okay, here's what the commenter says. We're very clear in our review policies that all reviews are vetted by the entire team before they go live, and by vetted, I guess that's his speak for like. Quality assurance checked. Remember, Alex was talking about that as well. Everything that goes up is the product of an entire team's output. Our freelancers are especially guilty of making snide comments. See my Volleyball 2.0 review. But those are always yanked before the review goes live because everyone in the office reads these reviews and makes sure they're up to our standards before they get put up. If there was a problem with his reviews, then it would have been a problem with the entire team. Firing him without telling one implies that anyone else on this team can be fired at the drop of a hat as well, because none of us are writing any differently or meaner or less professionally than we were 2 years ago before the management changed. I'm sure management wants to spin this as the G-man, meaning Gerstmann, being unprofessional to take away from the egg on their face that results after a 10-year employee gets locked out of his office and told to leave the premises, and then no one communicates anything to us about it until the next day. This management team has shown what they're willing to do. Jeff had 10 years in, and he was fucking locked out of his office and told to leave the building. What you might not be aware of is that GameSpot is well known for appealing to mostly hardcore gamers. The Monkey Mucks have been doing a lot of, quote, brand research, end quote, over the last year or so, and indicating that they want to reach out to more casual gamers. Our last executive editor, Greg Kasavin, left to go to EA, and he was replaced by a suit named Josh Larson, who had no editorial experience and was only involved on the business side of things. Over the last year, there has been an increasing amount of pressure to allow advertising teams to have more of a say in the editorial process. We've started having to give our sales team the heads up when a game is getting a low score, for instance, so that they can let the advertisers know that before a review goes up. Other publishers have started giving us notes involving when our reviews can go up. If a game's getting a 9 or above, it can go up early. If not, it'll have to wait until after the game is on shelves. I was in the meeting where Josh Larson was trying to explain this firing, and the guy had absolutely no response to any of the criticisms we were sending his way. He kept dodging the question, saying that there were multiple instances of tone in the reviews that he hadn't been happy about. But that wasn't Jeff's problem, since we vet every review. He also implied that AAA titles deserved more attention when they were being reviewed, which sounded to all of us that he was implying that they should get higher scores, especially since those titles are usually more highly advertised on a site. I know it's all about the money, and hey, I like money. I like advertising because it pays my salary. Unfortunately, after Kasavin left, the church and state separation between the sales team and the editorial team has cracked. And with Jeff's firing, I think it's clear that management now has no interest at all in integrity and are instead looking for an editorial team that will be nicer to the advertisers. When the companies make games downright contemptible as Kane and Lynch, they deserve to be called on it. I guess you'll have to go to The Onion or a smaller site for objective reviews now, because everyone at GameSpot now thinks that if they give a low score to a high-profile game, they'll be shit-canned. Everyone's fucking scared, and we're all hoping to get Josh Larson removed from his position because no one trusts him anymore. If that doesn't happen, then look for every game to be Game of the Year material on GameSpot. If you guys want to read this for yourself and can't easily access in Skype chat, I will repaste it there. So,
thank you.
I mean, that's basically the gist of it. Again, not confirmed. We don't know who this is. We don't know if this person is real. It sounds real to me, just the way it's written. And, like, just the way that he describes the review process. But that's common knowledge, though. I mean, they say it right on the reviews guideline that this is what we do for reviews. So, and you know, Alex himself said it on the site. That everybody takes a look at the review and proofreads it and all that stuff. But, I mean, this is, like... This is what gives me the inclination to think, and, you know, just from the tone of this whole post is, like, they want to go. They want to leave if things don't change. And, like, they're going to see a mass exodus of editors who can afford to do so. Unfortunately, there's some editors there who can't quite do so. Like, some have just relocated there and just started working there, like, a year or two ago. So it's like they can't really do that because then what the hell are they going to do? They just started out. They don't have quite as much clout. So... And here's a thread from Eidos that Ethan has just showed to us. Are the forums working again?
Yeah, they came back up.
Okay, because they was massively attacked by people pissed off, and like the forum just went down.
went down like a $2 hoe.
Oh, oh, $2? I give it for free. Let's see. Has Eidos made an official statement about the Jeff Gerstmann situation yet?
Oh, man.
This guy says, it's a rumor, that's all we know, and there will be no further discussion. Thread locked. To show how wrong reporting sometimes gets it, the site you linked to stated, Eidos has taken a different approach, locking down all threads on their site after apparently purging derogatory posts from thousands of angry gamers reacting to the rumor last night. He says, we deleted all the ugly spam, for which the most part consisted only of the worst sort of horrific visual assaults that you can... that can be found by all those who want to find such perverse pictures on the internet. There's only been one locked thread, this one, and there was only about 100 new accounts made for this attack, most of which were obvious repeat registrations. You can say whatever you want, forum guy, but everybody knows that, you know... Eidos is not innocent in this, necessarily. I mean, yeah, they're doing what everyone else does, but, you know, they pressure that shit. And, yeah, of course, they deny it. Where's this?
But right,
where is the thread? It's gone.
Yeah.
There is no thread.
There's a like, screenshot of like 100 threads saying...
Yeah, I can't find the thread, though. Yeah. I mean, maybe I'm looking wrong, but I can't fucking find it.
So here is the denial from CNET. This is from Joystick. We just got off the phone with Sarah Kane, a CNET spoke... And this was on the 30th of November. We just got the phone with Sarah Kane, a CNET spokesperson, who wanted to amend CNET's previous statement to Joystick on the recent firing of executive editor Jeff Gerstmann. While reiterating that CNET does not discuss personal employee matters with the press, Kane said directly that we do not terminate employees based on external pressure from advertisers, end quote. When asked specifically about whether any such pressure was even attempted on Eidos' part, Kane had no comment. We're still waiting on a response to multiple email requests for comment by Eidos PR. While we've had Kane on the line, we also asked her about the odd disappearance of Gerstmann's video review of the game from GameSpot. She responded by pointing out a note at the bottom of the still-running text review for the game, which states that this review has been updated to include differences between the Xbox 360 and PS3 versions and a clarification of the game's multiplayer mode, end quote, which, honestly, to me, is not grounds for removing an entire video review. Anyway, when pressed for clarification, Kane said that this note applied to the video review as well. At the bottom of the post of the text review, we made a note that we updated the review, and we made those decisions based on our editorial standards. You fucking have no standards. Those standards went out the fucking door when you fired Jeff. Anyway, it was our decision to take down the video review. Yeah, I wonder why. Given this justification, we can't help but wonder why GameSpot couldn't just edit the video review as they did in the text version. Why remove the entire thing if the problem really was just a clarification? When asked just that question, Kane reiterated her initial statement. Thanks, Sarah Kane. You done no good. Valleywag also says that she said, GameSpot takes its editorial integrity extremely seriously. For over a decade, GameSpot and the many members of its editorial team have produced thousands of unbiased reviews that have been a valuable resource for the gaming community. At CNET Networks, we stand behind the editorial content that our teams produce on a daily basis. Stand behind? If CNET stands behind its editorial content, why did it take down Gerstmann's review in the first place? And why did they fire him for standing behind the content? as well. Because that's what he did. If you look at Fran Provost's blog, here we go. Here's the initial blog on November 28th. It's titled, Holy Fuck! Trails off. Again, Frank Provo, FRANKPROVO, .livejournal.com. It says, it's a blog above that. It's titled, CNET's Integrity is Kaput, it seems. Yesterday, Jeff Gershman was let go from GameSpot. Penny Arcade ran a comic, and blah, 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 blah. For the past 2 days, I've been communicating back and forth with numerous members of GameSpot's editorial staff. They filled me in on a lot of background info. I'm not willing to spell out anything or name any names, but this anonymous quote from one of them sums up what they've all said. End quote. In quotes, the Penny Arcade comic obviously simplifies things, but the core of it seems accurate from where I am. The management did not like how Jeff was running reviews, something that seemed informed by the complaints they were receiving from publishers and advertisers. Basically, he was defending our editorial integrity, and they cut his ass loose over it. It's the death of the dream, brother. Brother!
It's the death of the dream, brother! I'm telling you, brother! When I put these 24-inch pythons on you, what you're gonna do?
Yeah, brother. Go for it. That sucked.
Let's see what else he says. The major video game sites and blogs... This is for the most recent blog. The major video game sites and blogs are still abuzz over his firing. CNET, of course, is keeping mum and has issued only a vague statement that I've been told that internally the execs are on a witch hunt to find out who initially talked to Penny Arcade and Kotaku, etc. The editorial staff is angry, scared, and about 200 other emotions right now. Rightfully so. The moment a critic can be fired for doing his job, the moment a news organization values ad money over honesty... over honestly produced content, that's the moment credibility is lost and fear sets in. People have suggested for years that sites and magazines were on the take. Before, those comments were just tin hat theories. Now, thanks to what CNET has done, those comments have merit. How can anyone take GameSpot's review seriously anymore, knowing that the writers are under pressure to keep their evaluations polite? How can those writers objectively evaluate a product with the fear that they'll lose their job if they mention some flaw in the product? The credibility of the entire game journalism field, I should note that green criticism is also different, but that applies as well, is suspect now. I know it sounds goofy that something involving video games should be taken so seriously, however I think about it like this. What if a movie review publication were found to be going soft on certain studios that pump in major ad dollars, which I'm pretty sure that's what happens. Or let's take it further. What if you found out that a CNN reporter was fired for doing too many stories that resulted in advertisers complaining to the marketing execs and ad money being lost? It's not that really huge of a leap to go from what's happened at CNN/GameSpot to having the same thing go down at a major news organization. It's all about the separation of editorial from advertising. My respect for CNN is shot. Writing for GameSpot is going to feel like a chore for quite some time going forward, even if I continue to be given that opportunity. Also, assuming that CNN's execs don't run the place so much into the ground that I can't in good conscience contribute to GameSpot anymore. This sucks so bad because it has been a choice gig for so long. Few freelancers get the amount of work or the opportunities I've had. I've cherished it. For anyone's information, Frank has been writing as a freelancer for them for 7 years. He's basically given every single, like, handheld, portable, or other game that, you know, the main staff hadn't had time to do but has been high profile. So he's been really benefiting from this gig. I feel so bad for the editorial staff. They're my colleagues, my compatriots, the people that nurture my work, and to some extent, my friends. Apart from crashing at Ryan Davis's house, 1E3, hanging out with Jeff and one of his buddies the same year, and my friendship with Aaron Thomas, the guy who gave Ratchet & Clank 7.5, by the way, I've only ever interacted with the majority of GameSpot staff for a few minutes here and there and at the Entertainment Electronics Expo. I said that backwards. Let me just say E3. For those interactions have been fun, engaging, and meaningful, even that time Andrew Park came into... blah, 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 blah. I wanted to get to the part where they... about the TVs and stuff. I guess that's in another person's blog. But that's the general consensus, and that's what I'm basing all this stuff on, is what people have been saying. You know, it's not really insider information anymore. But I don't know, what just overall, this whole situation, what do you guys think? I mean, what are you going to do? Like, remember we always, I don't know, we used to joke about, like, oh, these review sites are stupid. Like, I would totally shit on Game Informer because they're owned by GameStop and stuff, but with this coming out, this... not necessarily changes a lot of things, but it just verifies that you know, some people's suspicions could be true. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Oh, he's, no. Ethan's posting some stuff in the chat room.
Yeah, what the hell?
While reviewing the thread on GameSpot, the Jeff firing, by the way, firing is spelled without the E, Ethan.
Dumbass.
Look, my fingers are delicate flowers.
Yeah.
And I am not going to sacrifice them for your, you know, need for perfect
That's
typing.
That's fine, flower boy. Got a survey
take
pop-up.
Take some arthritis pills, you fuck.
Got a survey pop-up that did not open a new tab, just linked... Just linked directly to the survey. Oh wait. So it popped up and it just.
Yeah, I'm taking it now. I want to see where this
happened?
Is going.
Like, exactly what did you do?
So I was reading the survey and then a what do you call them? The floating moving
flash
ad.
Thing?
No. That's the new style of ads, like
the flash
that kind of
the little box. I forget what they're but there's a name for them. You know what I'm talking about? Anyway, so it slides in and it's like, "Will you take a survey?" And I go, "All right." And I click yes, and it just doesn't even open a new tab or a new window. It just like says, "Goodbye, GameSpot. Fill out my survey." So I'm filling it out. I'm hoping it's gonna like the last question is gonna be, "Do you think we were unfair in firing Jeff?"
Well,
but I'll let you guys know.
To answer the question, I think that it has some serious implications for those who do editorial work and who do reviews and who do things like that. It has serious implications for people who read them, but it's really up to the person. It's like, you know, Jeff getting fired over this was some real serious bullshit, and it's possible, because anything is possible, that this could be a serious coincidence and no one's talking about it because they can't, so they have to let all the shit go around.
Yeah.
But then again, it's also possible that it's not a coincidence and that everything that everybody's saying is true, especially when you take into consideration that you've got people going on witch hunts for people who've dispersed information to certain people, such as Penny Arcade and so many other blogs like ValleyWag and things like that, like these people who are posting anonymously about this issue. It's like they're CNET's looking for this information to be contained. So I don't know if they're doing that for their own reputation or if they're doing that because something worse might come out, like the truth, which would damage their reputation even more than this stuff that's going around right now. So it's like really tough, the everything that's going on right now. It's really tough on everybody, and I don't really see any end in sight to the effects that this is going to have on readership and integrity and effort in producing things specifically for GameSpot. But I mean, I haven't seen any other gaming publications that do, like, straight up on that level publications, like such as IGN and 1UP and stuff like that. I haven't really visited their sites recently. Maybe you have, Austin, and maybe you would know if they're commenting on this. I don't think that they would, or
they're not commenting in a news perspective. At least IGN isn't. Tal Blevins, you know, is the one who wrote that blog, and he is the IGN editorial director. So yeah, in effect, he is commenting on it.
Okay.
That whole blog about the Rolling Stone thing. That's where I got it from his blog. But he basically is just saying, like, don't look at this as a blight on the industry. Like, we all do our jobs as best as we can, and you know, the people at GameSpot are good people, and they would never bend down to this. And now that, you know. He's basically saying the same thing everyone else is. 1UP did not comment on it. 1UP wrote a news story about it with very obvious tinges of, like, this is bullshit, but in a newsy manner. And then, like, as I said before, they made that banner and they marched down to the CNET building and supported Jeff.
That is true.
Actually, let me read this email that Gideon sent to us, not to the mailbag, but to our personal emails. The internets have really blown up about this. Understandably, if the alleged circumstances revolving around this event are indeed true, and this was sent on before the ValleyWag thing came out, it sets a terrible precedent for gaming publications, reviewers, the industry as a whole even. That's for right now, I'd like to believe that this whole thing is an unfortunate coincidence. I'm still not quite sure what constitutes an unprofessional review. I'm pretty sure I've read enough of Jeff's work in the past to assume that he doesn't employ fanboy-esque tactics, but who knows, maybe I'm wrong. You're not wrong. He was level-headed.
Yeah, he wasn't
the family. The debate over whether review should be given from an opinionated or nonpartisan standpoint has raged in my head for a while. It's a very fine line to navigate, one sometimes misinterpreted by the reader's own preconceived feelings towards the game. Before I read his last line in this email, I will say that a professional review is a professional review. It doesn't have to be opinion versus objective, okay? As long as it's written in, like, an honest mm-hmm. manner that doesn't, like, completely sound like a child thrashing around, it's professional. Yeah. I mean...
Mm-hmm. It's an adult writing, basically.
Right. And he says, I did hear Jeff's video review of Kane and Lynch contain more examples of this supposed unprofessionalism. For the life of me, I can't find it. Maybe they took it down because of the backlash they were getting. They did take it down. That's what's on YouTube now. Have you guys bothered to watch the video? Or hear it?
This is an ugly game.
I'm going to do that, yeah.
I was hoping you guys would have done that yesterday, but okay, don't do that now.
Yeah.
Not now, but yeah, I will do it. To just say something, I think I'm always into conspiracy theories, and I think this is kind of looking like it. I think CNET wanted to get rid of this guy. They needed a scapegoat, which was Eidos. And with Eidos, you know, there's no such thing as bad press. Maybe they knew it was a bad game, and they agreed with CNET to let them say that their advertising dollars are going to be pulled for this bad review. That way they could fire him. So they probably, like, agreed, shook hands behind doors. They went cold Maxim guy, got him over there almost immediately. That same day, they fire him. You know, they tell him that, you know, they're tired of his shit. You wrote some very nasty reviews. You're unprofessional. Goodbye. You know, and had him sign a non-disclosure agreement, which obviously didn't work because somebody leaked the story. I don't think he did because, you know, then they would have... then they would have whatchamacallit, legal recourse to, like, sue for every dollar. Anyway, whatchamacallit. I'm more into the conspiracy thing, so I think if it might come out later on that this is exactly what happened. Maybe, maybe not. I'm not sure, but I'm always into that.
I think that's reading a little bit too far, but that's just my opinion. I mean, that's fine.
Oh, sure.
That's
yeah, no, that's okay.
Just because, like. Again, the reason why CNET didn't like him was because of how he was handling the reviews. And that's mm-hmm. specifically tied into their relationship with the advertisers. I don't think that, I don't think that Eidos and CNET would, like, tag team on this. Mm-hmm. I mean, Eidos did pull their Kane and Lynch off the site already, and it's not back on. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah, but I thought that what they did was they threatened to pull it, and then they put it back, and they just didn't point it to... the review anymore.
I thought so, but
maybe the campaign is over now.
According to some people, maybe that's what it was, yeah, but I mean, according to some people, like, it was just totally gone. I don't know.
Because I know, according to Susan
Arendt-t-t-t. Yes, I'm glad you found that, because I was trying to read that one. You go ahead and read that.
The ad campaign and all this stuff happened, like, 3 weeks ago.
Right.
And he was fired this week.
Right.
So it was like, you know, that's another thing that's kind of pointing toward, not really toward Tony, but toward Tony's direction, where it's like, yeah, it wasn't because of Kane and Lynch. It was probably something bigger, and this is the catalyst for him being fired. This was just like that little spark from the Flintstone.
Right. Because, let's see. The ads went up, and the Eidos brouhaha was settled over 2 weeks ago. Jeff got fired yesterday. Furthermore, I've heard a few people tell that he had already been skating on thin ice for, quote, unprofessional reviews and review practices, which is bullshit. I don't know much about that, though, so I can't say one or the other. My gut tells me that he got canned for larger reasons. Maybe the Eidos debacle was part of it. I don't know. Yeah, you do. But I sincerely doubt that Eidos made GameSpot fire him. CNET doesn't kowtow to its advertisers, and I've more than once seen the higher-ups turn away big advertising dollars for the sake of the company's integrity. Yeah, before new management, I bet. I think the whole thing is likely a combination of factors, the biggest being poor timing. All right, you don't have to say that CNET, that Eidos made GameSpot fire him, because that's just implying directly that they said. You could always say that Eidos's pressure did encourage some kind of investigation into the incident and having him fired. I'm sorry, but, like... Yeah, I mean, indirect or direct, they had something to do with this. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to find the blog post where the GameSpot commenter details on why they waited 2 weeks. It's not here, but I think the implication was that, like, hey, you know what happened 2 weeks ago? The Thanksgiving break. Well, not Thanksgiving, but like the pre-Thanksgiving flood of games.
Like, yes. A whole shit ton of games. Games that came out.
Yeah, like a whole ton. And Black Friday and people are shopping and whatnot. Are you really going to fire the editorial director over the game right then and there when there are tons of reviews to be written by a staff that would possibly march out in a show of solidarity or a show of fear if they knew that this was happening? And then you've got Mass Effect sitting there on the shelf not being reviewed. You've got Assassin's Creed sitting there not being reviewed. You've got freaking Super Mario Galaxy. No, Mario Galaxy came out before. But Rock Band not being reviewed. All this shit not being reviewed because they were too scared to review it because you fired Jeff Gershman during the Thanksgiving break. No. You wait until that whole thing dies over and says, what's coming out next week? Oh, I don't know. Soldier of Fortune? No one cares about that. Okay, now fire him.
some of those games still aren't reviewed, you know.
No,
and
they're not.
Some of those games did come out late, too.
Right. No reviews went up on Wednesday or Thursday or Friday, except for freelancer reviews, if you noticed that.
Like, well, that was Thanksgiving. What are you talking about last week?
Last week.
Oh, this week that just passed.
This week, yes.
Yeah, well, no, I mean, reviews. I'm talking about, like, during even the week before Thanksgiving and stuff like that. Like, some of the stuff came out on time, but some of the stuff came out, like, a day or two late, too.
Yeah, and, but that's because there's a glut. That's because there was a glut. Okay. Not because they were like, oh, they had hint of this, you know? It's like, whatever. Let's see. I'm trying to find this this thing here.
I know. IGN had it up.
In response to a GameSpot forum thread, this is from Kotaku. Set this morning at 10:55. The new GameSpot manager of community development said he is eagerly anticipating the official word to be released on Tuesday. Who is this, Sean? Oh, this is John. Donkle John used to be a user. And
Sean John.
No, John Donkle.
Sean John.
GameSpot has halted. GameSpot has halted user reviews of Kane and Lynch after a flood of 1.0 ratings lowered the game score to a 2.6.
Wait a minute. Really?
Yeah,
that was like, what we just did.
They ended let me just talk. If you try to go and write a user review on Kane and Lynch, you can't. Apparently.
Really?
Yeah. Which saves me the trouble of having to delete them because I'm a moderator there, but like Destructoid has registered cashwhore.com and changed their front page banner in support of Gershman. Cashwhore spelled with a zero and not an O. GameSpot employee Aaron Thomas explains why more employees aren't speaking up on the matter. Quote, this isn't GameSpot suddenly clamping down on me or any of us here. This is how it is for anyone with a job. Let's see. GameSpot users are reportedly canceling paid subscriptions left and right. Rumor has it that GameSpot forum moderators have been told to squelch any discussion of the controversy. That seems unlikely, though, as the main discussion of the topic has reached 11,000 posts as of this writing.
Okay. Moderator's like, what? You didn't tell us.
We're not squelching any controversy. We're not squelching it. We're just trying to keep it organized into one thread. That's all. Let's see. I'm really trying to find this because I don't want to just say this without any citing that, like, the reason why they did this was because, freaking, dude, they won't fire us if there are a lot of games to review. They'll wait till after. I'm trying to find that, and I can't...
But you just said it.
No, you're trying to find something.
I'm trying to find evidence so that people can look for themselves, basically. Oh, yay, EA handing out free games for Rock Band Guitar Snafu.
Yeah, I'm getting mine.
You getting a free game?
Yeah, they sent me an email saying that it took so long and whatnot. You know, it's messed up. I put my thing in.
What's the game, Madden?
I don't know. They said free EA game. I'm like, oh, I get to sell it back. Oh, wait. Edit it out. Let me stop. Anyway. I got an email from them about it.
Good job.
Because as soon as I got the game, I put in an order for it, but there was no tracking number on the order. So then I said, what the hell? And then I think I mentioned it on the podcast that they were going to charge me $20 if they didn't get the guitar back.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I decided to go through and order it again because I signed in to support.ea.com and got no kind of response and nothing. I'm like, what the fuck? It's been a week, and they said it was supposed to be 3 to 5 days. I understand that there was a Thanksgiving holiday and whatnot, but I should have had it by Friday, 2 days ago.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm.
So I look, and I'm like, fuck this. I'm going to go do it again. And they're like, okay, looks like you need a new guitar, especially now that the strum bar actually doesn't work. So I went through the process, put in credit card information again. They go, okay, if we don't get the guitar in 28 days, you're getting charged $125.
Okay, I found it.
That sounds a lot more reasonable.
Wrap that up quick, because that's I found it. Cool. Okay.
Wait, let me wrap it up. So they sent me an email saying that there was a delay in their shipment and I'm going to get a free EA game. It'd be nice if it was like
Madden.
No, like
NBA Live for Wii.
No, it's not a sports game. Why should it be like Boogie or some shit?
Oh God, that probably is what it's going to be because they're overflowed with stock of that shit.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Here it is. The main problem here. This is from blog.shacknews.com. So he says, first things, this could be complete bullshit. Now that it's out of the way, take a look at these incredibly in-depth and potentially illuminating comments on the Valleywag Silicon Valley gossip blog. They're from a user named GameSpot who appears to be a GameSpot editor, and they go into great alleged detail about the circumstances surrounding blah, 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 blah. It should be noted that the posts reference CNET's Josh Larson, hardly a household name among gamers, but indeed GameSpot's overseer. That in and of itself is hardly proof, but it adds some measure of legitimacy. In his first post, the writer claims that Gerstmann's firing was by surprise and related to the attitude of the current management. He writes how Gerstmann was allegedly... Okay, so we read that part already. Let's see. Here's more that... here we go. The main problem here is that no one in the entire editorial team was aware that this was about to occur. Least of all, Gerstmann. We're very clear in our review policies that all blah, 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 blah. We read that part. And then when the douchebag from Valleywag was like, I don't see how this would, you know, I don't see if this was true, then you would name yourself. And he says, no one wants to be named because no one wants to get fucking fired. Obviously, this management team has shown what they're willing to do. I was in the meeting with Josh Larson, blah, 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 blah. After that whole Game of the Year quote. Despite the fact that this occurred 2 weeks ago, there was no way they were going to fire him then. The last big games didn't come out until just before Thanksgiving. There was no doubt that management knew the rest of the reviewers would refuse to write any reviews after his termination, which is indeed what is happening. After Thanksgiving, nothing major comes out in games. Everything is either before Thanksgiving or comes out in January. They waited to fire him until they knew that any strike or walkout by the rest of the staff wouldn't have much of an effect. Also, keep in mind that these salespeople do have access to grind with editorial. I know a lot of people busted their asses to get not only this large deal with Eidos done, but other huge ad deals. The salespeople and marketers are the ones who have to deal with publishers when a heavily advertised game gets a bad review. So obviously they like it if every game comes out as peachy keen and gets a 9.0 or above. If a salesperson knows anything about unprofessional review practices, then that says a lot about the management team that we have in place, because not a single other member of the editorial team had heard word one about this until Jeff was fired. Surely site management will want to let us know about their concerns before firing the most senior staff member and one of the most respected game critics in the industry. If they're sharing their concerns with the salespeople and not with us, then that says a lot about their priorities. So that was the last post that I wasn't able to read on the other blog.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Just because it wasn't there. I couldn't find it, I guess. I don't know. But, yeah. That's why it didn't happen right away. Mm-hmm. But, okay, Al, since you've watched the review... What are your thoughts on it?
Well, I wasn't really considering on buying it anyway. And
right, but I just mean like the...
Oh, I know. That's my intro.
Intro?
Listening to the review makes me feel like I, you know, have listened to or watched a decent review. You know, something that is factual, that is objective to a point. Because there are some subjective words being used, such as this game is an ugly, ugly game.
Right.
But he does say, he doesn't bash on it like, oh, this game is shit, you know, this is a waste of your time, it's not worth it, don't buy it, blah, blah, blah. He actually does go on to say that it's a shooter just like all the other shooters. There are lots of things that don't work with it. The level design, the gameplay, the cover mechanics and all that stuff don't really work. The AI is really stupid. But... you know, there's some pretty cool aspects to the game that would be interesting to check out.
If the game was made better.
If the game was made better. Like the multiplayer mode, the heist mode, which is a really, really ingenious idea, which would have been really good if that idea was put onto a game that actually had good gameplay mechanics. But he was talking about how the AI is always
AI.
In the same place.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And the aiming is completely off. And there's so many things that just aren't there with the game to make it a worthwhile purchase.
Right.
And just, you know, with that, when I first started listening to the review, I'm like, damn, that's rough. Did you really have to say it like that? Mm-hmm. But
it's a different
just in
type
light of
ugly,
other
though.
Things that he said, it's true. It's not like he's saying something to be
a
you
jerk.
Know, bashy. Time but out. He's just telling the truth. It's not like, you know, imagine if the game was shit and he was sugarcoating it and all he could talk about were good things about it as opposed to the good and the bad and weighing it out and saying this is for people who would be interested but don't, you know, save your money.
So, like, yeah, I mean, what was unprofessional about the review? Nothing. Well, before we move on, Ethan had to leave, so he bids you all adieu. Anyway, so, yeah, the way he said ugly, ugly game is, like, it's and he, you know, he wasn't saying, like, oh, it's bad graphics, and it's, he was, like, if you think about it, like, for example, anyone who watched Heat, like, some aspects of it, just, like, the way that the characters, like, it's ugly in the sense that it was artistically made to be ugly and gritty and downright reprehensible. That was the point of some of the scenes in that movie, and that was probably the point of the game. But, you know, of course, yes, he does mean that the game itself is also ugly from a quality standpoint. And it doesn't do things that right, but... Mm. And probably editorial... management doesn't understand that. It's like, okay, first of all, it is a bad game. Second of all, he's saying it from an aesthetic standpoint. They made this game gritty. They made this game with unlikable characters because that's the type of theme they're going for. So he's telling the facts. He's not saying, like, he's doing both, basically.
Yeah, but he also said that, like, you can't ever make a connection with the characters.
Right, no, that's what I just said.
Do effort, yeah.
That's what,
not unlikable. I mean, you can have unlikable as a personality trait. Like, oh, man, I fucking hate him. But,
right,
I guess what you meant by unlikable is, like, you completely have lost
you just
the
can't
ability
like them.
To have any kind of feeling for them.
Right. Mm-hmm. Exactly. And so, like, I mean, that's their problem. That's their problem. I mean, it's really stupid. Mm-hmm. But I think if you look at his reviews in the past, they're all very similar in tone. They're all very similar in you know, just mannerism. You know, even the way he talked was barely personal until, like, he started talking about how they said the F word every time.
Mm-hmm.
When he said he was, like, as an example of their kind of lazy nature of how they scripted dialogue, when you tell your squad, one of your squad mates to move the cover, he just says, fuck you! And of course they bleep the fuck out.
Mm-hmm.
And then he just kind of shrugs and goes, that's just lazy, you know? So what? If that's... please tell me that that's not what they're hinging on, you know?
Can't be.
But it's just reprehensible what's happening. It doesn't make sense to me based on that review. If anybody is trying to look for the review, you can easily go to YouTube and find it. Just click on Gerstmann, and I lost the analog nub to my PSP. I don't know where it went. Mm-hmm. Oh, here it is. It's on my crotch. So yeah, I mean, judge for yourself. It's still up. It's still live. And apparently you can still get it on GameSpot. It's just not linked anywhere anymore. But the streaming version is still there. You can get it through blog.wired.com/games.
Get it from rockpapershotgun.com.
Rockpapershotgun. Yeah, but I'm saying, like, the as evidence that GameSpot didn't completely remove it. It's, like, up there somehow. So, yeah, I mean, just to give you an idea of just how hard this is hitting the staff, this is not just, like, oh, man, I'm losing a coworker. Oh, man, is my job on the line. It's, like, here's the blog from Ryan Davis, who was also in on that Dragon Ball Z shit review.
Mm-hmm.
Unsurprisingly,
Pokeball.
Unsurprisingly, the GameSpot staff has been doing a lot of talking over the past 72 hours with each other, with friends, with family. And there's definitely a lot to be said, a lot to be sorted. I'm not going to burden you with the bulk of it here because a lot of it's private and a lot of it you've probably heard already. But I've grown wary trying to type out the same conversation with different people. I will tell you some things that I haven't had a chance to get down to writing yet. Now seems a good time as any. Jeff Gerstmann has been a significant figure in both my personal and professional life for a long, long time. I first met him at around 1997 through an odd confluence of technology, music, and personal determination. He was in a bizarre local ska rap band that, at the age of 17, I found utterly fascinating, and he seemed funny as hell. By my recollection, we were fairly fast friends, though I also was kind of pushy about it. As an aside, this was also how I first met review editor Alex Navarro. As an aside, he's my boss now. Though at the time, he was a twitchy little drummer who, for the first few years that I knew him, was never seen without his black knit cap. Other ridiculous protracted blah, 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 blah. So he talks about
personal
whatever,
life.
Whatever, whatever. Yeah. My friendship with Jeff was one of the main reasons I got a part-time job with GameSpot in the spring of 2000, handling support email remotely through the week while toiling idly at a local JC. I was only in the office one day a week. While catching glimpses of what it took to write about games for a living, I knew I wanted to be there all the time. Jeff has literally been there ever since, if not as my direct supervisor, then as a close coworker and a continued friend. It's been 8 years since I started working at GameSpot. Jeff was there for nearly all my fondest and most memorable experiences on the job. He's covered my ass through rough patches and helped me become the writer I never thought I'd be, or even wanted to be. Simply put, I would not be in the video game business at all if it not were not for Jeff Gerstmann, and I am loath to imagine what I might be doing with my life right now without the focus I've earned from having this ridiculous job. Long after the considerable novelty of "I write about video games for a living" wore off, this was my continued professional interaction with Jeff that has kept this job fun. Now he's gone, and I'm not afraid to say that absolutely breaks my heart. I felt the departure of Rich Gallup from the site earlier this year. Rich Gallup, by the way, is the videos producer. He was one who took care of On the Spot and hosted the podcast and everything. Mm-hmm. What's it called? Where is it?
Rich Gallup from the site earlier this year.
Sorry about that. This goes deeper. I felt that departure in my bones, but this goes deeper. Jeff was a rare constant, and this marks the end of an era for both GameSpot and myself, a fact that doesn't seem to be getting any less upsetting for me. One thing about a situation like this that encourages you to break out lots of trite sentiment and soft, obvious analogies, things that embarrassingly manage to resonate sincerely when one is in crisis. There is one chestnut I've used more than one occasion over the past 72 hours I'd like to share. The ball is still in motion. This is not the end for Jeff Gerstmann. This is not the end for GameSpot. This is not the end for me. So hopefully they're not all going to leave en masse.
Yeah.
But you never know. I mean, whatever.
Never know.
If you look at Alex Navarro's blog, he says someone has just hit the disaster button for me. And that's not encouraging.
Yeah, after the SimCity
Yeah, he threw a SimCity analogy there. Like, you've built like a bustling city that works and is beautiful. And just out of fun, you decide to press the disaster button and send Godzilla after the city. Feels like someone's...
More than that. Like everything. Airplane crash, yeah. Tornado, earthquake,
and he's
volcano,
like, yeah,
Godzilla.
And then he's like, it feels like that for me, except someone's hit my disaster button. And then, Greg Kasavin, the former editor-in-chief and the one who ran this site, kept it away from all this advertising bullshit, who now somehow has My Little Pony as his avatar.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why.
Mm-hmm.
But he basically, comes in, he rarely blogs here anymore, but he comes in to say, Jeff Gerstmann deserved a respectful send-off. He was the longest tenured editor here. I worked with him for 10 years before I left. And he was like, my last day, because he left on his own accord. He was like, my last day was good. I had an exit interview. I had packed most of my stuff. I did my work. I sent in the last reviews. I said goodbye to everybody. And I said goodbye on this blog, which he did, if you see three blogs down. Jeff didn't get any of that opportunity. He's just kicked out. His last blog was about Rock Band. An innocent blog about, hey, this is cool. I'm going to be drumming. And, next thing you know, he's gone. And it's bullshit. So
it's like somebody dies.
Yeah.
No, it gets killed, I should say.
Though, which is what's and this, don't take this the wrong way, but like what's kind of worse about it is that he didn't – it's not that he died because he didn't die.
Right.
He's out there feeling the brunt of having been fired
mm-hmm.
from a site that he's been identified with and has been half the pillar, Greg being the other half, for 10, 11 years. And he has to deal with that. And, he has to live with the fact that like he was fired for doing his job the right way.
Yep.
If anyone wants to see what the rest of the GameSpot staff is feeling on this moment, if they don't know where to find their blogs and just want to see what people are saying, you can go to the site called virtualfools.com, virtualfools.com/games/Jeff-Gerstmann, and he summarizes all the news that happens, and he puts a compilation of everybody's blogs from GameSpot. Matt Rory, Tim Tracy, who's also left, actually. Alex Navarro, and he spelt Navarro. It's Alex Navarro with an A at the beginning, not an E, you jackass. Ryan Davis.
Navarro.
Navarro, like Nevada.
Navarro.
Brian Ekberg. And Brian's blog is especially cryptic. It just says, I can't remember what it says. The blog text just says NM. I don't know if that means no more, not me, or something like that. I hope that doesn't indicate that he's leaving, because I enjoyed reading his stuff, but I don't know. It's just bleak, and it's just, I don't know. It's really ridiculous. One bright spot, Jeff can still laugh about this. When the Valleywag guy actually sent him a Facebook message, and among all his snarkiness, and like, I don't believe he'd be fired over the thing, he dared to send him a Facebook message, and fucking twat. What a fucking twat bag. I'm sorry, I don't like him. But it says, Gershman did get in touch with Valleywag's Paul Booten via Facebook. This probably won't come as a surprise, but I'm unable to comment on the rumors surrounding my termination, though I will say that I wish people would stop calling my parents' house at 2 a.m. looking for comment. I know the proper stereotype of a game critic is a guy that lives in his parents' basement and all, but Jesus. So at least he's trying to sort of kind of keep upbeat. So I don't know. I mean, there's not much more I can say about this. It's disgusting. It's setting a huge, disgusting precedent, and I don't know if you guys have last remarks, but maybe we should call it a day.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I just want to say that...
I think we talked this out. I mean, like, what's going to happen in the future, we'll probably have another show like this talking about why they rehired him and why they went back on their decision to fire him. Who knows?
One can only hope.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, but that's the whole thing. I mean, we talked about the aspects of how people feel about this. We definitely know that there's people that care about this, which is good, because that means that video games do affect people's lives, and the people that review the video games, people that love video games depend on them as well, you know? Yeah. And it's because of that there's a sort of solidarity. If you're going to fire a good man for no reason and people are going to come, you know, to back him up, even though they don't really know him personally, yeah, that's a great thing, you know? Yeah. And that just, you know, that just speaks for the game industry as a whole. It's like a brighter side of it, even though this is like a really, really evil kind of thing that happened. But, yeah, you know, it's like it shows a humanity to this whole
thing. That's a very good point there.
You know, so I think maybe in the future we'll be talking about him rehired at GameSpot, or we'll be talking about him rehired at something more.
Or he creates his own
lucrative
site and everybody leaves and goes to that one. And
exactly, exactly, and that causes GameSpot to fold.
Wither.
You know, yeah, and you know we'll probably be seeing another online publication. Hey, listen, if that happens, so be it. I mean, it's because of follies like this that history is made or broken.
Right.
That's it. I mean, this is what happens. This has happened in the past. This has happened with many companies. Now we'll see exactly what happens to GameSpot.
Right. What were you going to say, Al? You're saying something.
I was just going to say, this is fucking bullshit.
That was by request. Yeah.
By request from Mr. Jimbo. He wanted to hear that.
Oh.
We were talking about going to game trailers and stuff while we were playing Rock Band. It was me, Slunks, Jimbo, and their friend Matt. I forget what his name is. And we played for like a long ass time, just talking about the whole Jeff Gerstmann thing and talking about why people are leaving and why people shouldn't leave, and playing songs and stuff in the middle.
Right. Shout out to Jimbo and Slunks and everybody else. We plan to have Shenlong Bo, aka Adrian, on the cast. Hopefully, we were hoping for it, but I guess our schedules didn't match. Unfortunately, I'm sure he has a lot to say. But yeah, hopefully if we can get him on in the future or something. If anyone wants to comment, please feel free. Housekeeping as usual. On Point Podcast from Marshyman. GameSpot.com/user/Marshyman50. Though, given everything that's happening, I don't know if he's going to be on GameSpot anymore.
I didn't hear anything.
There's a Game Slaves Radio. I'm sure they're going to talk about this with Riven, Kristen, and Leiden. GameSlaves.net. Search it on iTunes and everything. So yeah. This was not a happy episode.
It's depressing.
It's not a happy episode.
We tried.
But, you know, yeah, you always look like look at a silver lining. Maybe there is one.
Yeah. No, you're right. I will still be posting my reviews on GameSpot. I will still be posting my old reviews on TryGames, of course, because we don't have any advertisers, of course. If this site ever gets off the ground, it will continue to remain a hobby site. I'll say that right now, it'll be a hobby site. We won't get games from publishers. We'll do all this shit on our own. Hopefully I'll be rich enough to support it, you know, with my day job. No advertisers.
Oh, of course.
No advertisers. We're always rich enough. Never, ever, ever any advertisers on our site, especially given this. Never, any, never again. Not again, as if we ever had them in the first place. And speaking of the site, new on it is, I think there's only one thing new, and that's the editorial I wrote that I also put on my GameSpot blog. I also started blogging on Destructoid and 1UP because I think everyone needs to hear it. It's called The New Math. It's on the front page. It was posted on the 30th of November. If you hear this by the time the article has gone down in the posting order, just do a search for New Math, and it should come up as the only entry. Actually, it doesn't come up as the only entry, but it comes up as the second one under... under articles. So, all right, that's it. Any closing shits, or do we go and eat?
We go and eat and work and shit and clean snow off our cars. Shit.
Oh, it's fucking snowing here already. For Ethan, who is left early. For Tony.
Yeah.
For Al.
Peace out, y'all.
For Jeff Gerstmann, for Alex Navarro, Ryan Davis, Brian Eckberg, Carter Torres, Brad Shoemaker, all the fucking staff at GameSpot. I know all your names. I just can't name them right now. Keep your head up, you know. It's things will get better.
Hey guys.
Yeah.
On three, fuck Eidos. 1, 2, 3,
fuck Eidos.
And Sony.
this has been episode 73 of your Tri Games Internet podcast. Thanks for listening.
Hello, and welcome to another edition of Video Game Review Haiku Corner. My mind, it wanders, and these are the things that come up when I'm standing out on the streets. Let's begin. Eggs good for eating, but make for substandard game. Stick to Sonic, please. It feels good to get these out. What's that guy looking at? I think he's looking at me. Metal policeman. I'd buy that for $1. Break disc with a bat. Yes. Did I leave my iron on? No, of course not. I don't own an iron. Okay, good. Dragon Ball is dumb, but not as dumb as all the people that like it. Yes, all these things are true. They're not just manufactured falsehoods from inside my brain. They're... yes. Three now, one to come. The fourth should come with candy. Anime sucks too. Inspiration has struck. Wrestlers can drive cars. What a genius idea, eh? Bargain bin for you. That guy just dropped half a sandwich in that garbage can. I could... no. No, best to leave that there. Ryo Hazuki, Shenmue, Second Coming? No. Give it 6.8. Razor sharp. Yes. That's all for this time, friend. Until we meet again, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.